and welcome to our Morning Throners podcast.
I'm Nelson.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Kyle.
And we're the fucking Morning Throners. And welcome back to another episode of your favorite Song of Ice and Fire podcast. We are your Morning Throners, and we got a doozy on deck, and that is Sam 2. Nice 20-page chapter, gentlemen.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be, I feel like this is going to be the norm now. Slugging through.
We got a few decent
but like
ones.
This is one that's all in one spot, really, right?
It's all
like,
good.
I mean, it's a couple. I don't feel like it's
long, but
I don't know about all good, Nelson, but it's
like
good
it.
Got good parts for sure.
There's a lot of new names.
Yeah, and then they all end up dead, or like for the most part.
But yeah, I didn't finish the notes on the actual last few pages, but yeah, I think you're right. Most of the new names do end up dead.
All right, Kyle. Let's see what Kyle thought about it, because Nelson says that about every chapter.
Yeah, so what's the synopsis, and what do you think about it, Kyle?
I mean, shit goes sour, Craster's Keep, right? Like, it's pretty much the plan that Small Paul and I forget who else was involved in that had. But, it, you know, everybody just got fed up with Mormont, right? And that's really where it kind of came down.
Kind of, but also they're fed up with Craster.
Yeah, well, they fed up with Craster, which kind of pushed them against Mormont, which, yeah. I don't know, man. It was also fucked. That, like, and the other thing is, I hate that, like, I feel like we're killing people just to kill people off in the book now, to some degree, where, like, I don't see that, like, I don't think Mormont had to die here. He lived off of the fist, he made it all the way here, and then he just dies in this, like, his own man stabs him in the stomach just because he's pissed about dinner, right? Like,
I think it's more of symbolism, like, these people were just so fed up with everything that it was, like, it was boiling point, right?
Fair, but I feel like Mormont has been, like, cool to all these dudes all along, right? Like,
yeah, but, I mean, don't you feel like it's a little bit realistic that the person in charge of a mutiny would die? Like, against the mutiny?
But, I mean, we just even said that it's Craster that they're against.
Agreed, but then it was like, all right, well, since you just killed Craster, like, now you have to die. I'm taking your head off. And it's like, well, nah, fuck that. Like, I'm tired of living under this shadow of the wall type shit.
Yeah, I think it's a question, and I don't know. I think it's something that probably the Phantom still, like, thinks about to today. Is like, was this, like, a somehow, like Kyle's saying, I don't know who's actually on which side, but you're both saying the two sides. Like, is it, like, a reorganized, has the people from that, like, from the prologue chapter, right, that Chet chapter, have, like, some of them, right? So we know 60 got off the fist, right? At the end of that last, somewhere in that last Sand chapter, they survived the fist, they, like, regrouped, and then from then they were pretty much retracing their steps back, which is back towards Craster's. And during that march back, their people were falling, Sam was falling behind. But the number that he says is like some 60-odd had escaped from the fist. So what if at that point you're like, oh shit, there was like 20-some people in the mutiny at Craster's Keep, let me see. Or the mutiny...
Chet's
there was
thing.
13 people, I think. At least that's how many, yeah.
Yeah, we're maybe seven of these 60. I know what you're saying.
Exactly.
That's not what I was getting at, I guess. It was just kind of the tension boiled back up and it kind of rose, the mutinous idea rose back among the ranks. Yeah. I didn't mean specifically it was them.
Well, but I do have my notes here, so I'm going to read off. We did, Jeff and
yeah,
I
got names,
both
yeah.
had spent time to try and figure out how many names we had. The people we have are Chet, Lark the Sisterman, two of Lark's cousins, Small Paul. So I don't think we hear about any of the unless
I don't recognize any of them from
Small Paul's
reading
dead.
Today.
Small Paul died in the last Sand chapter. Yeah. I don't think Chet or Lark, the sister men, were in this one. We also hear Softfoot. I don't think we hear him either. But then we hear Sweet Donald Hill. He's definitely
which
there.
He's in this.
Clubfoot Carl. He's
Clubfoot's
in this.
Clubfoot's definitely here. Yeah,
he starts it all off too.
Yeah,
Clubfoot
true.
Does Dirk, who is here?
Dirk's the one that kills him. Or no,
Ala Lopand, I think, is the one that kills him, and he's on this list.
I don't remember him from this chapter.
I remember him being named. I think it's something with a G kills him. Garth of Greenway blocked his path, and Alo Lopan yanked him back. They both had blades in hands. Alo warned. Instead, the Lord Commander grabbed for his dagger. Alo did kill him.
Yeah, so, again, that's four people on this list. Four out of 13 are part of the 60. So, yeah, maybe they're like...
And
yeah,
there's actually only 41 here.
Yeah.
Exactly, at this point.
That's a good point. I didn't actually think that there were this many crossovers. So
I think that's definitely a possibility. The other thing, though, I think that it's more likely that it's kind of just like a heat of the moment thing. They're like pissed off, and like what the other one of you guys was saying, it like Mormont was just the guy getting in between them and the food at that moment, right? Like he was just trying to stop them between getting what they want.
But I think knowing that these were at least the main actors were the same dudes, I think that actually kind of dials back what I was saying a little bit earlier about how like now people are just dying just to die. Like a lot of these dudes did already want Mormont dead.
Yeah, that which kind of hints to maybe we just didn't see it, but there was something organized behind
the
scenes.
At the same time, like they wanted him dead so they could leave, right? Like, wasn't that like the whole idea? They're just like, we need to get off the Fist. Now here they are off the Fist, headed back to where they
want
to go.
Kind of already have what they want. And, so.
Well, that's where I'm kind of like indifferent, not indifferent, but like I think Carl Clubfoot, who started yelling at Craster, was about to sit down and like, all right, fuck it, like I'm not gonna do this anymore, and then Craster jumps up with his axe, right? So like it was about to almost be settled, and then it got past the point of
the axe that we fucking settled. Gave him right?
I think once it got to the point where like Mormont's gonna kill me, like, but I got these three friends that don't really give a fuck about Mormon either, like let's just kill him and then start eating food and taking Craster's wives for ourselves.
Yeah, the thing I think that maybe hints to it not being a like organized thing is like, why is Sam alive? We don't know how much time has passed, but it seems like a little bit of time has passed by the time like Sam kind of comes back too. Like, why is he alive at that point? Mormont's still like a little alive. Don't you think they like would have made sure? Like, people are already upstairs. Like, fucking...
I don't think they organized like, oh, let's make Craster mad at us and then we'll kill him and the old bear and then just
I'm just saying, like, even if there was a plan to, like, kill Mormont, you'd think you'd make, like, Mormont's still alive sometime after, like, spewing his last words to Sam, right? Like, you'd think he...
Yeah, they would have finished
him. Yeah, finished the job, and probably just killed everyone else who wasn't part of their team, or, like, given him a choice. But, well, let's get into the beginning. We're kind of all over the place.
So, we find out we're at Craster's Keep, right? And there's a lot of shit going on right when we open the chapter. Someone's giving birth upstairs, and there's a guy dying on the main floor, so...
Yeah, Bannon. This boy Bannon.
Mm-hmm. I didn't. Do we hear of Bannon before? I don't remember that name.
Just in the prologue, he was like one of the people that Chet's group was going to kill.
Prologue of this book. Gotcha.
So I think I don't.
He is too good a tracker to be left alive. That's what we hear about Bannon. That's what they said about him.
Okay. I think that leads more to this being just spur of the moment, right? Like.
Again, I think it's pretty 50-50 where
there's
where
a lot of these
people
that they were going to kill are still alive, I guess. Is where I'm at here.
Well, Bannon gets burned before that any of that kicks off.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like just in general, they're still hanging out with all these dudes. You think they could have slipped away when they were escaping, too. Like Sam disappeared. Nobody gave a shit about him falling behind. So you have, you know, the 13 dudes fall behind, pretend you're dying, and then you run away, and you don't have to kill anybody, you just leave.
That's a good point. That's a good point. No one's looking for you at that point. Except at that point, you're also probably just pissing yourself, because they were all at the Fist. They all did see, like, crazy shit.
Yeah, it is dangerous. Yeah. 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 It's not.
Yeah. So as the screaming's going on, Craster's just kind of watching from his chair, and Sam's taking care of this guy, like, trying to make him as comfortable as possible, like, keeping him warm, fire, furs, and Craster won't give him any food, but they're feeding him onion broth. It sounds like they're all eating onion broth.
Yep.
And Craster's like, you might as well just kill this guy. Like, it'd be kind of.
Craster don't give no fucks, yeah.
Which, like, to a point, like, I don't know. It sounds like if they fed him, they could have saved him.
That's what Giant they think, says later. Yeah. Like, maybe actual food would have helped him.
Yeah, that would kind of piss me off if, like, I knew a brother of mine is dying and he could be saved, and this guy's just
cut
like.
Cut his foot off, right? Like, it's not like he's dying of starvation. He's dying of, like, serious infection.
Yeah. Like, and Sam mentions that Kedge White-Eye had brought, like, a bunch of, or no, Kedge White-Eye was the one who took his foot off. Somebody else had brought a bunch of herbs and stuff, but they left him at the, nobody thought to look for the medicine when shit started kicking off at the Fist. So, all that shit's, like, left behind, so they don't have any of that shit.
Yeah.
Sam says Bannon isn't the only one who's all fucked up.
Yeah, there's three other guys.
The ones that I had was Fernio and Sir Brium. Yep. Sir Fernio was delirious, Brium had an oozing shoulder.
Maybe Bannon's the third of them all, because it says in the count that we hear later, of the 60 that came, 44 made it, and it was going to be 41. Like, these three guys were on their way out, so.
Yeah. Well, three actually had died. I took it as these were actually two of the 41 alive, because I think we hear that there's 41 alive, and nine of those 41 were too injured to fight. So I took it as these guys were in the part of the 41, but part of the nine that were too injured. They're all fucked. It doesn't matter.
As I say, I don't think nine people is, you know, worth arguing over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The thing that one thing is, Craster mentions, like, crows are always hungry, and if he wasn't a godly man, he would have sent them away. Like, he talks about this.
It's a recurring theme.
He's a godly man.
He's just, yeah.
There's two recurring themes. He doesn't care for the crows at all. They never did brought him any good, yada, yada. They always want my food. And I'm a godly man.
Yeah.
Which kind of goes to the other, like, what is it? Dark wings, dark words, or whatever you guys like to say.
Yeah, he says something that makes you that makes me think of that. That did make me think
yeah,
of that
when
line.
Did a blackbird ever bring good to a man's hall? Exactly. Ask you never.
That's right along with the dark wings, dark words, but in a completely different, like, context.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, he's equating them to the messenger birds, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So something that really confused me here, we hear somebody, and again, this probably doesn't really matter, but Brown Benar was the one who had been carrying the healing stuff. I guess he didn't make it, but there is somebody called Black Bernar. So there was two guys. Brown Benar. I don't think he made it off the fist.
Brown Bernar. B-E-R-N-A-R-R.
And, but then there's Black. Okay, so B-E-R. Okay, I missed an R.
It's the same. Right. Black Bernar and Brown Bernar.
Where the hell's Black Bernar?
He's across the on the other page, 443, about directly across from...
Oh.
I just think it's funny that, like, all these, like, it seems like the lowborn people, maybe it's not lowborn, maybe it's just because, I mean, there's not that many people in the Night's Watch, but you got the three Garths, Garth of Greenaway, Garth of Old Town, and Garth of Greyfeather. You got Black Benar, Brown Benar. I think there's a few other ones that, like, doubled up on the names, but...
I didn't think anything of that. I mean, there's too many names.
I guess it's like real life. Like, on a football team, you'll have a couple Kyles, couple Jeffs.
Thankfully, there's only one Nelson.
The men, we kind of get the first taste that the men were angry at Craster, right? Obviously, he's eating pretty good, him and his wives, and they're sucking down broth, basically water.
Yeah.
And Sam had the thought of, like, man, like, these injured people, like, these maybe savable dying people, like, they could use the food and they'd probably be saved, but I'm scared to ask for more.
Yeah, exactly. Two of the people, again, I'm dropped the names, who were, like, murmuring that, like, all Craster's hiding food away, were Clubfoot Carl, who, again, kicks off later, and then Garth of Old Town. Yep. So, Sam's thinking back on this girl, too. The girl who's given birth up top is Gilly, who's the girl who Sam was talking to in whatever John chapter that was in Clash of Kings when they were here.
Long time ago.
She was pregnant and was basically like, save me. And Sam's like, what are you doing, Sam? Or John's like, what are you doing, Sam?
And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm not taking this girl with me to the fist.
Yeah, like, we're going deeper into danger, first of all. And even if we were going the other way, like, how would we make this happen? Yeah. And I think it's interesting, just, like, Sam, who shits himself, Mormont even jokes about it, like, shits himself literally when Mormont looks his way.
Just calls his name out.
Well, Sam's, like, arguing with Lord Commander in front of Craster later. Like, in front of everybody, Sam's like, but we should take the baby. No, Sam's like, he's like, go inside. And he's like, but sir, like... That is, like, very uncharacteristic of Sam, and it's all about, like, this girl and baby. So I just think, and again, like, this is kind of where it starts in the chapter, him thinking about
it. Well, and he even gets to saying that at the end, right? Like, I ain't scared no more.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
But.
So Gilly's giving birth. Craster doesn't care too much for the screaming. Tells her to bite on something, or he's going to come up there and give her a fist.
Yep.
And then we hear about kind of his actions two nights before with one of the younger wives, and he just went up there and beat the shit out of her, it sounds like.
Yep, somebody, Garth of Greenaway, had said that he thought Craster was killing her, and Clubfoot Carl just laughed and said if he didn't want her, he could have gave her to him. So, Carl sounds like a dickhead.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with Craster. Carl just doesn't sound like he's far behind.
Yeah. Black Bernar and Alan Rosby both cursed and got up and went out. Alan of Rosby got up and went outside so that he couldn't hear. Ronald Harclay, a ranger, reminded them all that Craster's roof, his rule, and that he's a friend to the watch.
Yeah.
Which, and then Sam's like, yeah, but if this is our fucking friend, like, fuck this guy.
Yeah,
right?
He's like, reminded himself friend as he's listening to her muffle her screams. Like, she's not even allowed to give birth in peace.
So, yeah, Samson thinks back to the first time he met Gilly, and he wanted to help her. And it comes back to how much of the son-daughter thing do we know, Nels? Just so.
Well, you skipped a little here where he's talking about, like, Craster is, like, pissed to just even have them here. Like, frozen crows. Ha ha. There's way less of you than went north, is pretty much what he said.
Yeah.
It's very obvious that this whole situation, like, nobody is happy about, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird that Craster even... I mean, I guess he's safe because he does take him in. He's kind of safe from both sides of the coin. Like, I'll let you guys stay here so you guys don't kill me and take me out of my keep. And I'm going to be a godly man so they don't come and kill me.
Yeah.
But he has no problem with them dying on their own. Like, you got chopped down. Like, you guys suck.
Told you not to go out there.
Come in. I got a roof for you.
Is what you're asking, like, what did we hear about, like, what Craster was up to with his kids in the first?
Yeah.
I definitely know that he was killing all the sons. I mean, this one for sure, we know that he was taking them out into the woods. And there's a little bit more at the end. But, I mean, and I know that all these daughters are his wives for the most part, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At some point in the chapter, Sam thinks that Gilly had told him that he gives them to the forest, like just gives them to like exposure or something like that. So it's almost like Gilly thinks that he's just going out and like, I can't fuck you. So I'm going to just throw you away pretty much and just goes and puts him out in the woods. Like as if she doesn't think that there's anything with like the like whites or the others involved or like his gods, which is like kind of how I take it. Right. Where he's kind of like, it's like a sacrifice almost.
Okay.
And I just think it's weird that Gilly, it's like Sam, when he thinks back on it, she tells him, like, exposure. Like, why not be more straight up? Like, oh, he gives the kids to, like, they die of exposure. I mean, like,
that's kind of one of those things, right? Like, that you don't open up with on your first date, I don't think.
Well, if you're trying to be like, hey, I'm in a really, I guess it doesn't matter. If you're being like, I'm in a really serious situation, I guess the important point is that he's killing a kid, like, not like how it's happening or whatever.
Is there a chance that this is Gilly's first kid, right? So it's not like she's been through the ringer too much with Craster.
I don't know if we know that, like, but yeah, sure.
Well, I'm just saying, like, is there a chance that the older wives might know a little bit more of the truth and, like, to protect the daughters?
But at the very end, she says something about, like,
tell them. Like, the older wives definitely know, right? Because they're the ones
who have been through it. Yeah.
Didn't Gilia or Gilly at the end say?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, maybe when she had.
What? What'd she say?
His brothers will come get him.
I don't know if that was Gilly.
At the very end, Gilly was crying, me and the babe, please, I'll be your wife like I was Craster's. Please, Sir Crow, he's a boy, just like Nella said he'd be. If you don't take him, they will. They, said Sam, and the raven cocked its black head and echoed, they. The boy's brothers, said the old woman on the left. Craster's sons, the white cold's rising out there, Crow, I can feel it in my bones.
Well, she didn't say it, but she knew. Like, I mean.
So my point is, like, maybe. Like, after, like, they birth their first son, like, hey, I'm sorry, but, like, he's going to the what? Like, they, at some point, they tell him the truth. Like,
yeah,
they don't want to scare, like, the 13-year-old. I have no clue. This is complete speculation.
I mean, he's going to take him outside and leave him in the woods versus he's going to take him outside to get eaten by. Right.
Yeah. Once you have babe in hand, yeah, then it's, like, time to tell, at least at that point.
But, no, I'm just saying, why would they have that? It's the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
I think she's just hiding it from Sam first, because it's fucking creepy as shit, right? And and then it's going to create this whole issue here at the camp with these 300 dudes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know what kind of can that's going
to
open there.
Yeah, the important part's my baby's at risk, not, like, necessarily what it's at risk to. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. But Sam is like, oh, man, please give her a girl. Praying to the gods, give her a girl. Yep. But he heard the lady say when she was pushing, like, oh, I can see his head, which I don't know, whatever. I don't know if the baby looked like a boy or it's just like using that pronoun. But yeah. Sam's thinking like, oh, shit.
Yeah, you should be saying her head. Yeah, yeah.
So Sam walks out, surveys kind of the camp going around. I didn't take everything you saw, Nelson, if you want to mention everything you saw that's going around.
Well, it's funny because he goes out because, again, Craster's complaining that Gilly's being too loud and be like, I saw Sal give birth once without a grunt. And this pig was almost as fat as Sam, like just like taking digs at her boy. So yeah, Sam's like, fuck this. I don't need to listen to you insult me. I'm getting out of here.
And I'm sure he doesn't want to probably hear anything that's going on in there.
And the other thing, I think by this point it's happened a few times, Sam has a new nickname.
Yep.
Slayer.
And we learn a little bit later, he doesn't necessarily like it, but yes, I think even Craster's calling him Slayer here. Yeah, so Sam gets up.
Yeah, that's coming up. Let's save the nickname talk for.
Yep, he looks around and he sees a couple people counting horses. Alo, Lopan, and Tim Stone were feeding the remaining horses. Other brothers were butchering the horses that they couldn't ride. Yeah, the other horses. And Sam eventually walks around and sees people shooting bows at a stump.
Shooting bows.
Or a butt.
Yeah, just at a target.
Oh, the other thing is they do have like people on watch here, which makes sense, and they have like 12 fires burning that there's a bunch of people out in the wood chopping wood for, which later is kind of what Gren's working on.
Yeah.
But Sam mentions that they hadn't been attacked since they got here. Yeah.
The snow isn't as bad either.
Yeah, and Craster pretty much said they wouldn't be. And then Craster says that he said something similar to Mance one time.
A godly man got no cause to fear such. I said as much to that Mance Raider once when he come sniffing around. He never listened. No more than you crows with your swords and your bloody fires. That won't help you none when the white cold comes. Only the gods will help you then. You best get right with the gods.
Yep.
And then even Sam is like, man, this place is fucking, like, it's unsafe, right? Is really all he's thinking the whole time. He's like, I watched these dudes run up the fist. Like, yeah. These little tiny mounds of dirt are not going to
yeah.
save him.
Yeah, we were on, like, a literal mountain before. This is nothing compared to what we were at defensive-wise, like, at the fist.
But yeah, to not be afraid and like, I'm just kind of thinking now, like, the cold was breaking a little. Like, maybe this place is kind of in some weird protection.
Eye of the storm type deal, yeah.
Well, not even, just because he's feeding them the babies, like, yeah. The army, like, they just won't come get him, right?
Yeah, they steer clear.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Gilly says the next thing, right?
Gilly says that?
Gilly had spoken to the White Cold as well, and she told them what sort of offerings Craster made to his gods.
Yeah, so again, it's weird because, like, it seems like Gilly and Sam talked about this way more than, like, what we heard about, like, with John. And Sam's, like, kind of remembering back to it in, like, spurt. So it's, like, kind of, we don't know exactly what she told him, I guess, but.
Yeah.
But, well, we kind of know the gist of it because he says, there are no laws behind the wall. It's all he says to himself right away. Mm-hmm.
And I think the second part is Craster's a friend of the Watch, which ends up coming back to us with Carl, right, to Jorah, is like, well, there are no laws up here. And Craster wasn't being a friend to the Watch.
Well, Craster, like, it gets to one of the things where it's like, yeah, how horrible is Craster? But, like, this is a perfect example of why you need Craster. If they don't have Craster, they're all probably fucking dead, right? Out of the 60, how many get back to the wall?
They needed a break.
Compared to if Craster exists, yeah, or if Craster doesn't exist, you know what I mean? And again, I don't know if I'm Mormont, if I allow this guy to exist.
He's got some use. Yeah.
It's the same thing with, like, Craster, like, I don't really like you fuckers, but I'm going to take you in so you don't come off your wall and just kill me, right? Because they could easily take him out. And it's the same thing with the Rangers. They're like, well, we don't really like this guy, but if we don't have this spot to hunker down at, we could die on any range. So it's just like, it's both sides of the sword for both groups.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So he goes to the people shooting arrows. There's a young fellow there and an older guy named Ulmer.
Sweet Donald Hill is the younger guy. And yeah, Ulmer's the older man. So Sweet Donald Hill, good shot at 50 yards. And he, like, beat that. Ulmer's like, I will. And he steps up and
Beats that.
Beats it by an inch.
But it says, in his youth, he'd been an outlaw, a member of the infamous Kingswood Brotherhood. He claimed he'd once put an arrow through the hand of the White Bull of the Kingsguard to steal a kiss from the lips of a Dornish princess. He had stolen her jewels, too, in a chest of golden dragons, but it was the kiss he liked to boast of in his cups. So, what do we know of the Kingswood Brotherhood, Kyle?
Nothing.
We know a little bit.
I'm sure we know some, but I don't know much.
We know that Jaime, as a young squire, was sent off to fight him.
Yes, fighting them is where he earned his knighthood. Exactly.
That's all I remember of him.
I think that's pretty much all we've heard up to this point.
Who's the White Bull?
We have heard that he is one of the members of the Kingsguard under Aerys.
But we don't know who it is.
Gerald Hightower.
Okay.
I'm sure we've heard that before. His nickname, the White Bull. He was the Lord Commander of the...
It's a dope nickname.
Too. Okay.
Yeah. So I think also just kind of interesting when you know that. Literally, here we are on the edge of the world, Craster's Keep, where Dolores Ed jokes that the ground is made out of shit. And we got Ulmer, who apparently is like the Kingswood Brotherhood. They're kind of like...
He's like a famous archer?
Yeah, I guess they're kind of like the outlaws that...
Like the Wild West outlaws?
I was going to say the ones that Arya's with, but I guess those ones aren't even like quite as infamous as... Like,
the Kingswood. I think it all depends on how long they were running around the Kingswood, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people know about these guys 20 years later, right? Again, maybe that's not super long, but...
Well, yeah. I mean, Ulmer is alive to tell the tales of him, so
yeah,
everyone
exactly.
at the wall. It sounds like he really likes to tell the story, so...
There's probably songs about him.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So, all right. But Donald... What's his name? Donnell?
Donald? I've called him Donald Hill. Sweet Donald Hill.
Donald Hill sees Sam, and they're like, hey, come on, Slayer, come over here and show us how you did it.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I mean, we learned in the past, Sam's not very good at this, so...
Yep.
Yeah.
Nor is it the way he killed the other either.
Yeah. Exactly. True. Yeah. Exactly. He did it with a dagger. So before we get off the Kingswood Brotherhood, I think we learn more about them in this little like snippet than we do in even in the Jaime chapter where he talked about him. But here, basically, Ulmer I think this is also the first time we learn about him. He's an old guy, and that's what he does. I think Jeff kind of hinted at it. He just likes to tell stories. And like when he's like, oh, did I tell you about Fletcher Dick, who taught me how to bend the bow? Like, he's the best to ever do it. And they're like, yeah, you told us about him 300 times.
All the time. Yeah.
And Sam thinks to himself of Simon Toyn, the Smiley Knight, Oswin Longneck, the Thrice Hanged, Wenda the White Fawn, Fletcher Dick, and Big Belly Ben and the rest. Do any of these stick out? One of them I had written down before, I think, from a song.
I mean, I feel like Oswin sounded like something to me, but I don't.
I might be wrong. I've actually looked
at it. No, it's a Smiling Knight.
I was thinking Big Belly Ben. Isn't there something with Big Belly Ben? Big Belly Ben was the only one that was in my notes before, and it was Tom was singing a song about Big Belly Ben in the High Septon's Goose. I feel like you read a quote about that when we actually recorded the podcast.
But whatever.
Yeah, they're just talking shit. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not doing this. I'm not going to embarrass myself.
Yeah, I'm not here to make you laugh. Go fuck yourselves.
As he turns around, slips in the mud, and they all laugh. Just bad luck, Sam.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. Loses his boot, stuck in the mud. Loses his other boot, trying to get his first boot.
And this is his first thought of him being like, man, why am I alive? Like, so many brave people have died already. What am I doing here? Like, I should be dead.
He also thinks his dad was right. Along those same lines as, like, why am I alive when they're dead? Like, my dad was right. I'm a coward.
Yeah.
Like, I'm useless.
No use. Yep.
Literally can't even run away from shooting a bow and arrow.
Can't even get out of the mud. Which could be poop.
Yeah, like that Ed said was Craster's poop.
All right, so Grunt's chopping wood. Got to be not that cold because Grunt doesn't even have a shirt on.
Well, he's steaming. So Sam did mention that he could hear snow melt. So it's over 32 degrees,
ice
cores
were dripping.
Yeah, so it's melting. Wall was weeping that day.
Yeah, so Grunt calls him Slayer as like a term of endearment.
Yeah, Gren's pumped about it. He's like, that's a fucking sick name, man.
Well, Gren was there. Yeah, he saved, pretty much Sam saved Gren's life, right, when he did it.
I think this is like, Gren gets made fun of for being stupid. His, like, three paragraphs here, or however long it is like, some of the most, like, the best advice we've heard on this, in the two books.
He kind of gives me, like, dunk vibes, where he's, like, not super smart. But he's like big and strong, and he's like, you could tell he's just got like a good heart, right?
He means
just like
well.
A good guy. Yeah.
I don't even know, like, his logic is really smart. Like, his whole thing about like he's very insightful and like, yeah, well, they used to call him, like, I'm just gonna say now, like, they call me Orok because they thought I was stupid and slow or whatever, right? But he's like, no, I look at an Orok and it's big and strong. It's like he's an optimist type of thing.
If my friends wanted to call me that, I'm down with that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it depends on who it's coming from. But it also reminds me of the Tyrion quote where Tyrion says, like, it says to Jon, like, don't let it bother you that people call you a bastard all the time. Like, wear it like armor, and then they can't use it against you.
Sure.
Like,
right. Yeah, I think it's the same sort of thing. And I don't think, like, you just said it matters who it's coming from. To Gren's point, it doesn't matter. Like, I didn't really care for Alistair, and he's
that's
like,
what he's saying. Sam's like, you didn't like it when they called you Orok. And he's like, well, that's because it was Alistair calling it, and he meant it in, like, a you're dumb way. He's like, if you or Pip or John wanted to, I'd be cool with it, because then I would take it as, like, yeah, I'm big and strong and fierce. And
I
not
am
like,
big
not
and
like I'm
bigger,
stupid.
Not.
Yeah.
So
I kind of agree with what he said.
Wouldn't you rather be Sam the Slayer than Sir Piggy? Is the last thing he said.
So to start off, it's like, well, yeah, Smallpaw's not small, whatever. The giant's a short guy, but like, you actually did slay this other. Like, you're the only one that's has a true nickname.
Exactly.
Like, they think it's all bullshit, but like, he was obviously there. Like, I know you're Sam the Slayer.
Yeah, you fucked that guy up, man. Yeah.
And this is where I think where Sam thinks that nobody believes him, though.
Yeah. Well, he says he was scared, right? Or he's like, Sam's doing something weird where it's like, well, I didn't kill him. The blade killed him. Like, okay, Sam. But like,
which is kind of true. Sam literally just like,
that's like saying like guns kill people. People don't kill people. Like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Like,
he
had the blade that killed.
But it's not like Sam was like dip dodging,
if he
ducking,
didn't
dodging,
hold it
slashing,
up,
slashing, parried. No, he literally just like stuck his hands out and like fell
forward.
You're
wrong. You're wrong.
No, I mean, he had intent, but Sam wasn't like popping off. Like, it is a mocking nickname in that way.
You're
kind of
wrong.
But
if this dagger didn't insta kill another, Sam would have been fucked.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. He had the better weapon. Sorry.
I agree 100%. What happened. But I think to that point, if he didn't have the one hit, the golden gun.
Sure.
He would that thing would have crushed him, right? Yeah, like, sure. He would have killed
definitely,
him.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So I mean, he got lucky, but it's good to it pays to be lucky, right?
Yeah.
And you're only you make your own luck, right? That's the other side of it too.
Have you guys seen Indiana Jones? It's kind of like the Indiana Jones thing where like I feel the like it happened one? No, the older ones. I feel like it happens in like at least 1 and 3 where there's like a guy that pops out with like swords and he's like swinging these swords around like a maniac and everyone's like ooh, and then like Indiana Jones just shoots him with a revolver and like walks on. It's like that's kind of like what Sam did. Like the others out here popping off and Sam just like I got a better gun.
It's in Raiders for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, but before he thinks about like people not believing him that he did it, Grant also has this just knowledge bomb of about fear and being brave, which I thought was like, damn, Grant's
yeah, man, everybody's scared. Sometimes I think being brave is just being scared. Like you're just pretending to be brave through being scared, and yeah, that's what makes you brave. Is,
yeah, which is, I do I like mean, that true, quote. Right? I do like that quote.
Because
yeah.
I feel like even Jamie or somebody might have said something similar before. Like
Ned said this to somebody.
Oh yeah, it was Ned talking to Bran or something. Yeah, like all the best knights are scared or something like that.
Very first Bran chapter, Bran after the beheading, Bran asked Ned,
it takes being like, brave to be scared or being scared to be brave. Yeah,
yeah. John and Rob were arguing. One said that he died brave, the other one said that he died afraid, and Bran's like, that doesn't make sense. And Ned's like, well, you have to be afraid to be brave. Like you basically have to be, yeah, like conquering your fears, doing what you're afraid to do. Yeah, which is kind of like dope pretty much
line.
Exactly
it's
what
another,
he's saying here.
It's just another dope, yeah, line.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with that one. That like Grant had a Ned moment there. Yeah,
but I mean to be fair, like this is Sam's probably like first moment in life that he can be proud of, so he doesn't know how to deal with this.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah, in the quote that Gren says, just so that we actually have the actual quote. Sometimes I think everyone is just pretending to be brave, and none of us really are. Maybe pretending is how you get brave. I don't know. Let them call you Slayer. Who cares? Just do it. Who cares? I'm with him.
Yeah,
but he's like, why can't I just be from fucking me? Like, why can't I be cool?
Everyone needs a good name.
Yeah, everyone needs a nickname. Nicknames are great.
Kyle, do you have a nickname from growing up?
I call both of you guys pretty much by your original,
yeah,
names.
I mean, my nicknames are...
Sometimes we call you Fedge, but that is just Jeff backwards, which is a pretty dumb, yeah, nickname.
That's the best well, one. That's, no, that's the best one.
Did I tell you that story, Kyle?
I don't even know where that nickname came from.
All my friends in high school had cool nicknames. Like, we had a really big friend that we called Swole, and like he was Swole because he was like swollen, kind of. But like it just like fit him, right? Kenny, we called Chip. Like all my friends had cool nicknames. And I'm like, this is bullshit. You guys just call me Jeff. And I'm just like, all right, call me Fedge for now on. And they're like, what the fuck is that? And I'm like, it's Jeff backwards. I don't know. I just thought of it. And it actually sticks. Like my high school friends will call me Fedge. But the longest nickname I've ever had is Margaret, which is like the worst nickname. It's one of those that pissed me off so much as a kid.
Who calls you that? I've heard that. Who calls you that?
Like my older cousins and like his friends will call me Marge a lot. And it just pisses me off so much. And it was like literally when I was like 8, maybe 9 years old. And it still sticks, but it is what it is.
Everyone needs a good nickname.
Fair enough.
So, Sam, who believes Sam?
Nobody.
Yeah, pretty much nobody, right?
Some people do. Well, yeah, some people do.
It's limited.
The people who don't are Dirk, who, again, was on the list of bad guys, pretty much. Showed him his Dirk and said that he had iron. Why would I need glass? The three Garths, Garth of Greenway, Garths of Old Town, and Garth Greyfeather. I think...
And Black Bernar.
And Rolly of Sisterton.
Well, those first four made it clear that he didn't buy it. Yeah, and Rolly...
He's like, you killed Small Paul by accident, and then this is your lie. And, like, it's kind of fucked up, right?
Well,
like,
I think I would be in this camp, right? Like, I would. This is what I would think. Sam and Gren come back. Small Paul's dead. Last week, anybody saw Small Paul was carrying Sam.
And who would
be like,
the
one?
And
they're like, oh, we killed another, but
three.
Small Paul,
yeah,
died. Like, and Sam did
the,
it.
The
like,
big one.
We're,
yeah,
real. I mean, let's be real. We'd all be in this camp of, like, did you just accidentally kill Small Paul, and now you're, like, right, playing it off? Like, I would be in this camp.
Yeah. No, for sure. It's very believable that he was carrying Sam, right? Sam's now running.
Oh, yeah, he was carrying him, yeah.
So he did tell Mormont the story, right? And Mormont listened a little bit. And...
Well, so Dywin listened and Dolores Ed listened. And they made Sam and Gren go tell Mormont.
Yeah, Ed seems like a good dude to Sam, at least, right? He seems like his best friend. Him and Gren, for sure.
Anytime we literally see Ed, he's literally joking. He's never done anything serious in his life
obviously
on page.
Yeah.
Except for actually, like, he does his duty and stuff. But Dywin is like, one of the guys who we've heard a bunch, like, he is like a seasoned ranger. He's been around. He's got wooden teeth. I think this guy's like a lifer on the wall. And he heard this and he's like, you know what? I've been out there. Let's go talk to the boss about this one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which is cool, right?
Like, yeah. I think he leads. I think Dywin lends brings a lot of
carries a lot of weight. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So he wants to learn more about the Dragonglass, right?
Back here, it seems like Mormont didn't care too much, but he like wasn't going to completely dismiss it. But later when Mormont shows up, he's like, you know what? I've been thinking about it and I care about this Dragonglass now.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely later
on. Well, even Harry's like, if it helps, it helps, right? Like, we can try it.
Better than nothing. Yeah.
And they gave a dude a spear like that's on watch here that they passed down between the watches. Like somebody always has it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're definitely trying it.
Yeah. What sucks is they didn't have it all from what John had found, right? We find that they only have a couple daggers, the spear.
Did we hear this before that they didn't take everything? I don't remember.
I think so.
I don't think we heard that.
But. Maybe that he didn't take it all, but it was presented that it was much smaller than this. He's like, it was hundreds of arrowheads. Like, there was no way that I pictured in my head that there was that many arrowheads in there. Maybe like 10 arrowheads, 3 daggers, and like some spear blades or something.
And I'll fully admit that might have been like me, like kind of suggesting that, because in the show, when they find it, it is just like a small bag.
Pouch,
yeah, it's like
it?
It's not, it, no way it's what Sam says it
I mean, here. How big of a bag would you need for 300 arrowheads? Like, that's the majority of the arrowheads. Like, well, they could be.
Does Sam say how many dagger blades and spearheads there were? I don't know if he actually says numbers for those ones.
There'd been dagger blades and spearheads and 200 or 300 arrowheads at least. John had made daggers for himself, Sam and Lord Commander, and he'd given Sam a spearhead.
Yeah. My point is, like, I think even like 30 dagger blades would like take up a pretty big space, and like the same as like 300 arrow, like there could have been that many dagger blades for all we know, like maybe more. Yeah. So it definitely wasn't that much in the show, which maybe when we read the chapter, we were, because I did not remember that they had left this all behind there. I'll say that.
They now know where cash is, though, right? Like, if they need it in the future. So this might come back. Mm. But the other side of this is kind of weird that we haven't heard John mention any of the others carrying Dragonglass. And you would think they would have an idea about this.
The wildlings, you mean?
Or the wildlings. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
I mean, it just sounds like it's not a very common thing to be seen.
There's a bag of 600 or 300 and some of these blades out here, though.
Buried, though. It's not like it was like an obsidian shop where it's like, come grab your Dragonglass dagger.
But still, I mean, these guys are the ones, somebody in this group has to have dealt with another or whatever before, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know if we have. Let's just think about Mormont's talk later on. It's been thousands of years. It's hundreds of thousands, you know, maybe not hundreds of thousands. But
you don't think the wildlings or the giants or somebody in one of these communities has this history?
Maybe, but I would assume it's the same sort of thing. Like, it's been a long time, so who knows what happened to these. Like, at some point after generation, they're like, why the fuck do we have this glass blade here?
Well, Mormont definitely, the thing is, Mance Rayder definitely knows how, like, he has a game plan. Like, I think we even talked about it, how, like, when Mormont gets to the Fist, he says, like, and sees all the dead bodies, he immediately tells the men, like, okay, start, everyone carries torches. Like, he sent, like, some, like, get fire.
You're
everywhere.
Saying Rayder?
Mance Rayder, yeah. Mance, when they got to the Fist and saw that the Night's Watch were there, and
they saw what happened.
And they called John out for being a liar, they're like, get torches everywhere. Make sure everyone's got fire arrows, right? Like, Mance did make some calls. Like,
he knows, this. Yeah.
So he definitely knows, like, how he wants to deal with the others. The fact that in that moment he wasn't, like, dragging glass daggers everywhere probably just means that, yes, they've been attacked by the others and the whites, and they know that this is bad. They just never had a dragonglass dagger to test out, you know what I mean? So, like, they haven't put them two together.
Yeah, and, I mean, we would have never found out if Sam didn't only have that, yada yada yada. So yeah, you're right. I mean, Ghost. It is a last thing.
Yeah, exactly. Because Ghost happened to find this cache, right? It's like, to your guys' point, it's not like dragonglass daggers grow on trees in the north and like you just stumble upon them. Like, Ghost found this thing buried. Like, again,
I think the biggest minus of it all is that at some point somebody had buried that, right? So somebody had knowledge that you needed that, like, there was a use for dragonglass other than like it's gonna kill another type of thing. And nobody had it written down. Like, Sam just read every book in the library of what's it called, and they didn't stumble across it.
Yeah. Which is kind of what Mormont brings up later. So we'll get to that We'll get that a little bit.
All right. So
but here, but yeah. I feel like the Wildlings, one of these clans, should have known. So it's kind of weird to me that John hasn't mentioned it. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know. Like, maybe they've never had it. Like, it could be a completely foreign thing that they brought.
Fair enough.
Like, what if it comes from like Astapor, the place that Danny was just at? Is that right? Like, what if that's where Dragonglass comes from? Then it's even a bigger question, like, how did it get here?
We hear about it a little bit later that the Children of the Forest had it, so, like, and that they were in this area. So, like, we don't know enough about it to make...
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think we've all set our piece here. All
right, so Sam is like, why haven't the whites just come finish this here? Like, we're at this little less dumpy keep with mounds that are keeping them out. Like, why aren't they finish this off? Yep. And we get in a little, you know, stupid argument, like, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Well, I kind of like this take by Gren. Again, like, you're kind of saying Gren's spitting facts. I do like this take. He's like, what changed? You just killed one. Maybe they're afraid that we know how to kill them now. I think that's a really good point. Like, say this is literally the only way to kill them, then yeah, you'd be like, hold up.
It's like when Voldemort got like a Horcrux killed. He's like, oh fuck, they know they're Horcrux.
Yeah, they know.
Like, I'm not safe anymore. Like, they know that how to kill me.
Especially if they know, like, they're like, oh fuck, we thought we gathered all that up, or like, we know that comes from really far away. How is there any of that left? Yeah, exactly. Like,
maybe that was them that stuck it there, trying to hide it from everybody. Yeah, who knows? That's a good point.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Go check the cache. Go check the cache.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, thank God they left all but like 19 arrowheads. Yeah, or whatever.
But they got the horn.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. So Sam mentions that
for Gren being called stupid, he is being pretty smart this one. But
yeah,
So he's saying that, and then it's also like, they come when it's cold out, or do they bring the cold? So that was the chicken versus egg thing.
This is the one I think that Gren has a bad take on. Sam says, he's like, Gren says something that makes it seem like, oh, we're safe because it's not cold anymore. They only come when it's cold. And Sam's like, yeah, but does the cold bring them, or do they bring the cold? And, and Gren's like, that doesn't matter. And I think I guess Gren's kind of right. It doesn't matter. But I think like knowing that would be, I want to know.
I mean, at this point now, like, if you're like, holy fuck, it's getting really cold out of nowhere.
Well,
get the fuck out.
Yeah, if you feel the cold, that means they're nearby. Who cares if they brought it or the cold brought them? Either way, you're fucked.
Say it's like a board game, though, and you're playing from like their perspective. It's a hindrance if you can only go where it's cold. It's a super badass move if you can make it cold wherever the fuck. Yeah, you know what I mean? It goes from a hindrance to an ability. Yeah.
Yeah. So Sam starts thinking about John and like, all right, he's talking to Gren a little bit, but it's nothing like talking to John.
Yeah, which is like, come on, what the fuck? Gren's pretty cool.
Yeah, he just dropped if this is, he's all the only one being nice to you, Sam. Gave you all of his knowledge.
Yeah. He's the only one being nice.
Sam him did just save his life though, so.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like, come on.
Yeah, it's like, don't throw the guy.
He's your only
boss
friends,
like that.
Dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But he's thinking of John. He's thinking of how John would be nice to him and save people and wouldn't call him Slayer.
He's like, he's probably dead, though. He probably didn't think to use
He's probably lying dead or walking dead.
Worst case.
And he wishes it was a dream. And then, Kah!
Mormont's Raven shows up.
Bust on the scene.
Snow. Yeah.
Which is funny. He shows up yelling snow as Sam's
thinking
about
John.
Snow.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, Mormont's Raven. Sam's like, oh, Mormont will show up here soon, which is funny. Like, I don't know if we've ever had the Mormont or the Raven before the.
No, yeah.
But Mormont does show
up.
Does
Mormont bring the Raven, or does the Raven bring Mormont?
Yeah, like the others. Exactly. So, Mormont shows up. He comes back from the woods with Dywin and Ronald Harclay, who I think Ronald Harclay is the first time we heard of him in this chapter, but he's like kind of brought up a few times. And here he's like, we hear that he's replaced Thorin Smallwood, who's pretty much first ranger. I think like Mormont like pretty much gave him all the duties and responsibilities, but pretty much said like, vengeance first ranger until we know that he's dead for sure type thing. So pretty much this guy's first ranger now, just probably without the title. Maybe he got the title. I don't know if I remember how that went, but these guys are the like high up commanders pretty much.
Yep.
And they get in and Sam overhears them talking and Ronald's basically saying like, we don't have enough horses. Like, how are we going to, like, we only have 22 horses, and half of them won't make it back to the wall. Mormont's like, doesn't matter. Craster wants us
out.
Out
of here.
Yeah. Plus, the weather's not horrible. How long is this going to last? The gods have given us a respite. Like, let's go.
Which, I mean, right here, Mormont, again, is trying to lead everybody the way everybody wants to go, for the most part. So, like, these guys don't have a reason to kill him at this point.
See, like, I don't... To the point of, like, the people that were going to kill him, they were just going to leave and stay... They were going to become wildlings, basically, right, Nelson?
Potentially. Yeah, some of them were going to sneak through and go to the free... Or to other cities. But, yeah, you're right. Some had talked about staying out there,
too. Chet, who was the POV, planned on going...
He thought about killing Craster, yeah, right?
Exactly, trying to set up a Craster's, which is, like, seemingly what, like, the ones who do mutiny... That's probably what they're doing now. They're just chilling. That's what I'm saying. We didn't hear Chet at all, who was the main guy. He might be. He might have died on the fist, for all we know.
Yeah. All right. But he. So he calls Sam to come talk with him. But he's like, I need to learn more about this Dragon Glass. Like, I've been thinking, like, the wildlings aren't our true enemy.
Yeah. Read that. Yeah. That quote.
We never knew, but we must have known once. The Night's Watch has forgotten its true purpose, Tarly. You don't build a wall 700 feet high to keep savages and skins from stealing women. The wall was made to guard the realms of men, and not against other men. Which is all the wildlings are when you come right down to it. Too many years, Tarly. Too many hundreds and thousands of years. We lost sight of the true enemy, and now he's here. But we don't know how to fight him. Is Dragonglass made by dragons, as the small folk like to say?
The maesters think not.
Sam stammered.
The maesters say it comes from the fires of the earth. They call it obsidian.
They can call it lemon pie for all I care. If it kills as you claim, I want more of it.
I just Mormont kind of cracks me up a few times this this chapter. This is one of them where he's like, they can call it lemon pie for all I care. Which is like, why are you snapping at Sam? You know he's already kind of scared of you. He's literally giving you good information here. Like, you asked him a question that not many people would know, and he has it right off the top of his head.
I think it's just his personality. He's just a snapper, right? Like, he's just like the dad. Of, like, like, you do something stupid and the dad just like is always making fun of you for
it. Yeah.
Fuck do I care what they call it? Yeah, I just need to know about it.
Yeah.
And well, yeah, because right before this, he's like, Tarly. And he's like, me? And he's like, do you have a brother nearby? Yes, you. And he's like, come with me. He's like, with you? And he's like, try not to shit yourself every time I look at you. Yes, come with me.
Well, yeah, which I mean, is goes to what you were saying before, where he knows that he makes Sam scared. And here he is just yelling at him.
Yeah, it's funny, though. So, yeah. I love it.
And this is where does he tell him?
We had a lot more behind
at the fist. But
yeah, he's like, well, that's no good. We can't go get it because we would need to be armed with the weapons we wouldn't have until we got there. So we're fucked.
Yeah.
Catch 22.
But they have enough here. I mean, they could have probably make it back. They have two daggers, a spear, a bunch of arrowheads.
19.
Like, I feel like you could change some
19.
Of those.
You got 19
I
shots.
I feel like you could change those arrowheads into spears or daggers or something, right?
You
like,
know how you're going to try and reforge these things?
Yeah, but there's still, you just tie there's still it the to fact sticks. Of getting overtaken by a horde of them.
But if this stuff just needs to lightly pierce them, like what Sam did. Like,
also, Sam, I think, was this earlier when he was with Gren chopping wood? Sam thinks, Gren's assuming that this stuff kills the dead people like it kills the people made of ice.
Yeah.
Oh, did he say that?
Yeah, I didn't remember.
Sam's like, we don't know that. Like, we don't know that at all.
Gren was talking like it would do the same to the whites. Okay, fair enough.
Where was that? Where is? How'd you find that so fast? Was that earlier when they were chopping wood?
I'm fucking good. The dragonglass dagger had melted the pale thing in the woods. True. But Gren was talking like it would do the same to the whites. We don't know that, he thought. We don't know anything, really. I wish John was here.
Oh, it's right, yeah, right before he started wishing for John. Yeah, Gren sucks.
Stupid Gren.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, Craster comes out. I got a boy. I'm having a boy.
Well, this is, you said this earlier too. This is where Sam tells Mormont. He was like, where are we going to, we need more of this and we can't get it from the fist. And Sam's like, the children of the forest had more of it. And Sam's like, Mormont's like, that's useless. Like, they're all gone.
They were killed by bronze swords back in the day.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is pretty much what got them killed.
This is actually
right?
interesting. What the fuck was, I have no idea what he was going to say here. The first men killed half of them with bronze blades and the Andals finished the job with iron. Why a glass dagger should
be better than anything.
Not be carried? Not be used as your primary weapon?
I don't know. What do you mean? Keep going. Finish the sentence. You're giving me like the next like half of the sentence, but you're not finishing it. The children of the forest are dead. The first man killed half of them.
Why a glass dagger should not be your primary weapon? Because it can't hold up against steel.
Yeah. See, he's not saying this is why. I could see that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, they talk in like different English all the time.
Yeah, okay.
Why a glass dagger would be better, the better option is beyond me or something
okay,
like that.
Okay, I can see that. Okay, that makes
sure,
sense.
Sure, ended in the question.
Yeah, so like, that's pretty much what he's saying, right? It's like, Glass got beat by Bronze, got beat by Iron, you know, or whatever. Well, yeah, steel. Well,
it just didn't make. I didn't say a way. I'm just bad with words.
I wasn't picking you apart. I was just saying, like, he's like pretty much like, this is why Glass is gone.
Craster comes out and there's a boy. He's got a boy. Get out of here. I got a son.
Yeah.
Which he seems excited about, right?
He's smiling.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, he's a godly man.
It's weird because, like, Mormont has to know what's going on here, right? Like, I don't know if it's ever clear that's true.
His face was stiff. I'm glad for you.
The Raven echoes son there. You know, I got to mention anytime.
Yeah.
But yeah, Craster, stiff face, says he's glad.
Mormont's commander.
Am I just getting their names mixed up like every single time I say it?
Yes.
I apologize for that. I do that all the time. It's almost like we drink a lot during these.
It's still on you.
All right. Is this where he's going to feast them? He's going to give them some food?
Yeah, pretty much. He says, as soon as you are wounded or strong enough, and he says, they're strong as they like to get, Crow. Both of us know. Or leave them if you don't have a stomach, and I'll sort them out.
Yeah, they don't have that conversation, Jeff. I'm about to actually till after they burn Bannon. Here, this is more kind of more confrontational. They're like, "Yeah, get the fuck out."
Yeah, I've given you all the food I have. Plus, I have another mouth to feed now,
which actually means like I got something to dispose of, and I can't do it while you guys are here. Right?
I got to call upon the gods.
That's like the subtext I'm getting. And I think both Craster and Mormont know it.
We could take him,
but again, like I don't know if Mormont knows it or not.
I think he does.
It's so weird that he obviously has no sons, right? He's got 19 wives and no sons.
It's like, so weird that he has no sons. Yeah.
Like, even somebody if you don't that. Know exactly what happens, you're like, well, it can't be good to be a son of Craster. Because
I remember having
here.
This discussion about how it's like just him and 19 kids and they're all of his. Like, I remember having this discussion. So
it's one of the things where I feel like you almost need to tell us, because in the show, Mormont definitely knows. Like, John and him.
Yeah, I don't see how he doesn't, I guess.
John
what
and him had a
say.
Conversation about it in the show. But I don't think that ever happened.
Yeah, I feel like that happened, but I don't know.
Maybe it did. I feel like it didn't in the books, but maybe, again, it's one of the things where it's hard for me to remember everything.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Sam's like, oh, we'll take the son. If you don't want another mouth to feed, we'll take him off your hands. And Crash is like, my own blood? Like, I'm not giving my blood to you crows.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, which is like, who is he giving his blood to? Which, like, who does he respect more, right? Is kind of what that's saying. And again, I think he's saying this, like, very pointedly, because even when Craster or Mormont says, I'm glad for you, what Craster says back is, are you? He's like, are you now? Oh, like, to me, that insinuates that he knows that, like, Mormont knows something's up.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, you know, like, are you really glad about this? About what's about to happen? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm for sure. For sure, dude. This guy's job is to know these things, right?
I guess. I mean, I feel like their job is to look the other way.
I know, but I think the Rangers are there a lot. We just had this discussion at the beginning about how important Craster's Keep is to them. The Rangers' job is to fucking go out there and see things and understand what's happening around them. They know what's happening.
I'm just saying, like, letting Craster get away with, like, the wife daughter marrying is one thing, but
there's no laws above the wall, and it's not there. Okay. They're not governing the north above the wall.
Yeah. And I might just be wrong. We might know for sure that they know already.
Well, we're not going to find out from Mormont, because his ass is dead in about four chapters pages.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, so he's like, I'm not giving up my blood. But Sam does know that he does, in fact, give up said son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's pretty much, I only thought that if you were going to go take him and kill him because you didn't want to feed him, we would take him. It's pretty much what he's about to say. But Mormont is no. He's like, shut up. Go inside. Gone.
Super interesting here. When Sam first speaks up, it says, we could take him. Someone squeaked. Craster's head turned. His eyes narrowed. He spat on Sam's foot. What'd you say, Slayer? Which is just like, again, Sam is not the guy to speak up when there's this like heated conversation between Craster and Mormont.
Except for this kid. Yeah.
It's about this kid, though. And he's like, it's like one of those things where like you just gotta love Sam. Like, he's the biggest coward earlier, but at one point he thinks, I think we didn't talk about it, but
he's doing non-cowardly things.
Well, he says like a knight. He's like, a knight's supposed to defend women and children. We're not knights, but we said the words. We're the shield that guards the realms of men, and she's a woman, wildly woman or not, she counts. Like, that's who we're defending. Which kind of goes in line with what Mormont said earlier. Like, you don't build a 700-foot ice wall to stop people from stealing women.
Like, so Mormont drags him inside. He's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
And then he's like, one, we can't even feed this kid. Like, do you have milk coming out of your teats?
We need a newborn babe to care for as much as we need more snow. It cracks me up. Like,
He's gonna be fucking crying and shit.
Like, yeah, you're probably gonna die, Sam. You're probably not gonna make it back to the wall. What the fuck are you gonna do with the baby? Literally what he's telling him right now.
And he's like, oh, well, the mom wants to come too. She's
well, yeah, he's like, what did you mean to take the mom too? And he's like, well, kind of.
Yeah, I had this whole conversation yeah. with her, and he's probably just like, oh my God, Sam.
He's like, stop talking to his wives. You're gonna get us all kicked out of here, and we're not gonna have our safe haven.
Yep, exactly.
But it's his daughter, and he's like, yeah, I fucking know.
It's not his wife, it's his daughter. He's like, oh my God, get away from me.
I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah, go check on Bannon before I kill you. But when he gets back to Bannon. Yeah,
but Bannon's dead.
Yeah, closing the eyelids.
Yeah, Giant's all pissed off. He's like, Craster starving to death. Like, he's no friend of ours. Blah, blah, blah. We get to the funeral for Bannon, and they roast him. Mormont doesn't even know where Bannon's from.
Yeah,
it's like, and Bannon of, where the hell's Bannon from? Bannon of White Harbor. But he's roasted on the spit, man. They think Sam's so hold like, on. Man, he smells like some pork.
Before that, when they're saying, Sam thinks, at Castle Black, the Night's Watch buried its dead with all due ceremony. They were not at Castle Black, though. And bones do not come back as whites. Why the fuck are they burying people at Castle Black? Shouldn't they know, like, we should burn everyone? Take a crusher to them. Like,
I think they
throw
know
him off the wall. Like,
I think they know now. Maybe since the attack, they
this
know
is years ago.
It's so hard for me to believe that. Like, at one point, even 8,000 years ago, they knew all this shit. And like, even if they're not writing it down because they hate writing, and they're all thieves and murderers, which wasn't true for most of the Watch's history. But like, even if that is true, like, how do you go away from a tradition like burning to burying? Like,
yeah.
Especially for like thieves and murderers, it seems like burying's way harder.
I mean,
first
especially
off,
when the ground is
yeah.
frozen.
Yeah, like, burning would just be way easier. Like,
I do.
How does that
I do agree
like,
with that.
Just transition away.
I mean, as any tradition goes, like someone stop you stop caring about said tradition, and like
it's almost as crazy as a name like Carhold Stark getting transitioned to Carhold Stark. It's almost that crazy.
Don't get me fired up about that. Now, I was going to give a tradition that we did. We always played I Believe in a Thing Called Love after we won.
Yeah,
right?
And the traditions at our college die so fast, it's ridiculous. Our college is the biggest flakes ever.
That was like a, but that's like, that lasted, I would say, a
probably
couple
like 6 years. They're all flakes. Nothing lasts at that college. It's a bunch of flakes, and sure. There's no tradition at all. It's horrible.
Jeff lasted there.
Yeah, Jeff's the only tradition.
It's hard. It's hard because the moment one person, like, I'm not relating it to this. Like, I kind of am, but like, imagine every year of college as like a generation, right?
I think that's way too. Every year's a year.
Hold on.
Generation to generation. I don't know why it's any different in college.
That's not okay. Right. And that's not what I'm saying. Just because, like, you go through college so much quicker. So it's like, you know, once you're the senior, you're the oldest generation of said families.
Who stopped that tradition? They're just a fuckboys. They're just the worst.
I think it was during COVID because we weren't playing games, right? But as soon as it doesn't happen again, the tradition's broke because it's like, oh, what the fuck song did we play? And then, like, you make a new tradition. So, like, I don't know how, to your point of, like, why... Well, we stopped burning them, probably because they weren't scared of the dead bodies coming back to life. So they're like, oh, well, we're burying them nowadays down south. Like, let's just bury them up here, too.
Where some new commander came in, and it was his tradition from home to bury. Fuck that. We don't burn them anymore. We're burying them now.
Yeah, and who especially, knows? Like, when the seasons are fucked up, it's not like every year when you're in the north, the ground is really frozen for that long. Like, say you have a 10-year summer.
I feel like the wall is probably pretty frozen.
They get summer snows.
Giant ice wall.
The early chapters brands in the summer snows. But yeah, like still. Like
you so as we're talking about just like the burning on like Khal Drogo got burnt on a pyre, right? But we've had people die
but again,
and not get burned in Westeros. So like that tradition from the Andals or the First Men brought that over probably at some point it changed. So like they probably had it in a book like, hey, dead come back to life up here, burn them. But, like, the book gets stuffed in a corner after 1,000 years. There's books, and you never see that book again.
Or it rots away or whatever.
Or, yeah, it's rotted, you know, whatever. So, all right. So, they have a funeral for Bannon.
While we do that again, you kind of skimmed over it a second ago, but have we ever seen a Night's Watchman die? I think this is kind of cool. Like, what they, again, I don't know if this is a tradition thing or just, like, something we said this one time. I don't know if we ever see another formal funeral like this in the books. But
I don't
know. This is something that, like, at least I say sometimes to people and stuff, just because I'm a nerd. But
and now his watch is ended.
He kept his vows as best he could, rode far, fiercely. We shall never see his like again. And now his watch is ended. And then they echo it back. And then the raven cries, ended.
Sam is hungry.
Before that, weird, Sam thinks that he sees Bannon sitting up to, like, fight the flames. And normally I wouldn't think anything of it whenever Sam's hungry and delusional. But, like, we do have, like, a lady who, like, looks
at the fire. We have some fire vision people.
Yeah, like, sees visions and stuff, right? So,
well, I don't even know if it's that, but, like, it could be the white, right? Like,
oh, that's interesting.
I don't know how fast it transitions or how it transitions. Like, maybe it's, like, one of those movies where you're already infected.
That is a great take. Right? I would just think more people would see it, but, yeah, how many people are actually paying attention here?
Yeah, and, I mean, it was, like, in the middle of the fire. Like, yeah. I don't know.
That's interesting.
It's a good take by Kyle. I like that.
They burned it just in time because they do say they burn it at sunset.
Yeah, I don't know the rules behind this yet. So
yeah,
but it's Sam says yeah, the smell was the worst thing. Sam
smelled delicious
because it smelled so much like roasting pork. Yeah, so just as the Raven squawk ended, Sam had to run behind the hill and yak. And then we get some Dolores Ed greatness. So we know Jeff does our Dolores Ed Southern accent.
Oh, shit.
So he comes up and Sam's on his knees.
Digging for worms, Sam? Or are you just sick?
Sick,
said Sam weakly, wiping his mouth with the back of his hand.
The smell.
Never knew Bannon could smell so good.
Ed's tone was as morose as ever.
I'd half a mind to carve a slice off him. If we had some applesauce, I might have done it. Pork's always best with applesauce, I find.
Ed undid his laces and pulled out his cock.
You best not die, Sam, or I fear I might succumb. There's bound to be more crackling on you than Bannon ever had, and I never could resist a bit of crackling.
He sighed as his piss darked out, yellow and steaming.
We ride a first light. Did you hear? Sun or snow, the old bear tells me.
Sun or snow. Sam glanced anxiously up at the sky.
Snow?
He squeaked.
We ride? All of us?
Well, no. Some will need to walk.
He shook himself.
Dywin now, he says we need to learn to ride dead horses like the others do. He claims it would save on feed. How much could a dead horse eat?
Ed laced himself back up.
Can't say I fancy the notion. Once they figure a way to work a dead horse, we'll be next. Likely I'll be the first, too. Ed, they'll say. Dying's no excuse for lying down no more. So get on up and take this spear. You got the watch tonight. Well, shouldn't be so gloomy. Might be I'll die before they work it out.
Yeah. Just like, it's funny too because like he says it in a morose tone, like it's not even like he comes up like joking, like he's actually like he's just like, is he actually,
it's just
like,
how he talks, it's just what is where his mind goes.
Like I actually think of it as like a real life Eeyore is kind of how I see
Dolores. Yeah, you said that multiple times. Yeah. All right, so Craster's like, all right, you guys are leaving, I had a son, like I'll give you guys a kind of going off feed. It's not a feast, but I'm gonna feed you guys a little bit. So yep. What do we get? We get the dead horse, their own dead horse. They cooked up the dead
bread.
Horse. He found a cask of ale for him.
So interesting here. Craster says,
can't ride him, eat him.
Exactly. And I thought that was this like a talking about his babies. Is he actually eating his sons? Riding the women's sons.
I didn't go
the
there.
The daughters. Eating the male sons. I didn't go there. Nelson theory.
Nelson's actually for it.
Craster's actually eating the male babies.
I was wondering if he was, to be fair, but at the same time, like he's not having enough kids to survive on.
Yeah, I know. Like, it wouldn't help. Like it wouldn't add
to. Yeah. All right. So he gives them some meat and horse meat and two loaves of bread. His wives are making the horse meat on the pits. They got some onions out and they're serving, right?
Yep.
And they only serve the two loaves of bread, which pisses off Clubfoot Carl.
So Sam, before this, Sam thinks that he can't eat the horse meat because it smells too much like Bannon. It would make him throw up if he eat it. So he grabs an onion as a serving lady is walking by with an onion. Right.
Yeah. He cuts off the raw, the rotted part of it and eats the raw side.
Yes. One side was black with rot, but he cut that part off with his dagger and ate the good half raw. Here, callback. Davos was once on a little boat rowing Melisandre in to deliver a shadow baby. And she says, are you a good man, Davos Seaworth? Would a good man be doing this? I'm a man, he said. I'm kind to my wife, but I've known other women. I've tried to be father to my sons, to help make a place for them in this world. I've broken laws, but I've never felt evil until tonight. I would say my parts are mixed, my lady, good and bad. A gray man. Neither white nor black, but partaking of both. Is that what you are, Sir Davos? What if I am? It seems to me that most men are gray. If half an onion is black with rot, it is a rotten onion. A man is good or he is evil. So here, Sam takes his rotten onion and he cuts off the rot in half and eats it. So he basically just totally disagrees with Melisandre, which Kyle did back in Davos 2 of this, which I'll play right now.
All right, Sir Davos, are you a good man?
It said, I'm a bit of both. Bad things, I do good things, I treat my wife well, my sons are trying to make a good life for them, but I used to be a smuggler, I'm fucking rowing you right now.
I've broken laws, but I never felt evil till tonight.
She just calls bullshit on him right away.
He says his part, not right away.
Yeah, she didn't call him bullshit.
She's like, you're gray.
She's
like, you're saying you're gray. Oh,
she does call bullshit on the onion soon.
Yeah, like, so she says
bullshit,
you're gray.
You're not gray.
He's like, most men are, aren't they? And she's like, if half an onion's black with rot, it's a rotten onion. Davos shuts up
with
that,
bullshit.
Right?
Bullshit.
Can you
cut it off and eat the other half.
I don't know.
That's,
you
totally do that. Maybe. That's a point of view. I don't know. If you're really hungry, I guess, right?
Not really hungry. I do it all the time. You cut the rotten piece off, or you rip the fucking layer off the outside that's rotten.
So, like, but if what if your bread's moldy? Do you just cut the moldy part off? Or, like, or...
Yeah.
Nah, fuck that.
If it's in a bag together, throw that shit out.
Kyle, hold on. What if your milk's spoiled? Do you just skim the fat, the part that's congealed
that's
off,
different.
And then drink the...
That's
How
different.
Is it different?
She said
Once it's spoiled... Okay, I gotcha.
Kyle was right.
Always.
We had a fan in the Discord request that we try and include some of Kyle's predictions when he was spot on. And that was one that I know in the spoiler section I had Jeff talk about in forward of to this moment where Sam just straight up cuts the rotten part of this onion off. Because straight up what Melisandre says is, if half an onion is black with rot, it's a rotten onion. And here, when Craster's wives brought onions, he sees one eagerly. One side was black with rot, but he cut that part off with his dagger and ate the good half raw. So, like, basically straight up, Melisandre, you're wrong. People can be...
I probably did this last week. I cut an onion. It had a gross wet spot on the side of it. You cut that part off and you eat the rest of it.
With an onion, normally you just peel the bad outer layers off. You don't, like...
It's normally like a half thing,
but yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, anyway, yeah. Clubfoot Carl gets mad about two loaves, the onion... It happens right here, right?
Two loaves is not a lot of guys. So 41 people, a dozen's outside. You still got like 29 people inside. That's too many.
Yeah,
that's way too many people two loaves of bread.
For sure. You're like, the thing is, you can slice, if it's not already sliced bread, which we know it's not, you can slice it a little bit thinner. So yeah. You don't know how many slices you're getting out of a loaf, but it's still not enough bread.
Well,
for sure.
Fuck Carl for being like, how stupid are you women? You know this was fucking Craster, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. They're not choosing to not give you any more bread.
Yeah, why? What a dick.
Yeah. But Craster's pissed. Like, I gave you crows enough. Like, you're under my roof here. I got my women to feed.
Well, this is, I think, where Mormont mostly is like, yo, shut up.
Well, and he's like, the alternatives, you're going to be outside. And he's like, yeah, we will be outside doing that. I want to eat fucking right now.
Yeah.
He's like, he's holding out on us. He has to be.
Yeah. So Mormont, it's like, yo, shut the fuck up. What are you doing? But then, like, more people start chiming in, right? So it starts with a Clubfoot Carl.
Well, yeah, he's like, I gave you guys enough. I got to feed my own. And Dirk's like, oh, so you do have more food.
Yeah, you admit.
Right?
Yeah. I'm a godly man.
Carl calls him a cheap ass, which he doesn't like.
Yep.
And he's like, no one calls me that. Garth of Old Town thinks he has hams down in the basement.
I saw pigs last time here. Where are the pigs?
Yeah, smoked and salted ham, some bacon too. Dirk's like, yeah, they got some sausage too, the ones that last forever.
They're fucking dreaming here, right? He was eating a sausage earlier too.
He was, yeah, but it was like a hard sausage. Like, it wasn't.
Which is what this sounds like, the black sausage that lasts forever.
That's literally what they say, them long black ones.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like rocks
that
keep for years.
It's just weird, like, they're eating horse meat from, like, a recently dead horse. Again, I've never had horse meat, but I'm assuming it's, like, not bad, right? Like,
so, like, there's definitely times when it shows up in grocery stores and people don't really know until, the FDA finds out or whatever.
What do you mean? That they're actually selling horse meat?
I don't know if it's here
meat?
Specifically, but yeah, like maybe in like overseas.
But you're saying it's pretty much just beef.
I don't know. I have no idea. Never had it, but I think it gets passed off occasionally.
You're trying to talk about a scandal, but my point is, if they can pass it off, then it's pretty much the same as beef. So my point, what I'm saying here is, like,
it's probably tougher.
Some of the stuff they're like corn, oats, maybe the Raven's the only thing that says corn, but like, they're like corn, your hard sausages. Like,
Lopans, is it?
Why would you prefer
corn and barley?
Yeah, like, do you, okay. but which I you can make bread, I guess, from that.
I would just like, say, like, horses are very muscular animals, so I don't think there's a lot of fat in horses. So
yeah, I guess they're riding them, too.
It's probably very, it's not very, and they're the old, but like oats, dying.
Like, in corn, like you're eating.
So wait, you have meat. A problem with grains and vegetables?
No, but my, like, and I get what they're saying at the beginning. Wait, like, you have ham. Like, we just want some honey food, man.
Nelson's got the coldest takes right now.
Yeah. Mr. Paleo.
I think the hotter take, Nelson, would be that these are all the four men speaking out are the four men that were part of the mutiny.
Yeah, yes,
exactly.
Yeah. So let's get off the corn talk and talk about what fucking matters.
They're just hungry, dude. They want any food that this guy has.
Or the spread is fine. There's even onions. Sam doesn't mention it, but he ate an onion, so there's
Who
onions
wants
somewhere.
To eat a raw onion? Nobody wants a raw onion, Nelson. Shut up.
You eat a raw onion on your hoagies.
No, I like them caramelized.
you would eat her.
I don't put onions on my Italian hoagies. I do not.
You're not eating a real Italian hoagie then. I always knew you were a fake Italian.
Nobody enjoys eating raw.
You're full of shit. Red onion in a salad, Vidalia onions on
I wouldn't
your sandwich,
eat it like Sam did here, but like I like
yes,
onions
that's
on
what
a
I'm
lot
saying.
Of stuff. Yeah.
Yes, 100%.
Let's move on. The raven starts popping off. Corn, 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 corn. Yeah. And Mormont's like, enough. Stop it. Apples, barrels, more stuff that are yelling, more food, dried berries, corn, raven still squawking.
Salt, and there was a bunch of sheeps here, yada, yada, yada. Silence!
Yes. I'll hear no more of this. Stuff the bread in your ears, that old man. Mormont says that. Mormont's the one that says silence, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but then Carl says, stuff the bread in your ears, old man, or do you swallow your crumb already?
Yeah, exactly.
Which is the best, right?
Like, we got nothing. Yeah, exactly.
Have you forgotten your place?
Sit I'm in be charge. Silent. Yeah.
Do you feel in charge? What movie, Nelson?
Dark Knight Rises.
All right. He calls him a bastard.
Which somebody had heard or said something about before. Like, hopefully he didn't hear, right? Like, hopefully Craster didn't hear. So obviously this is a sore subject.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Before he calls him a bastard, Old Bear is about to get control, right? Yeah. And Carl looks like he's about to sit down. And that's when Crash was like, bullshit, you're not sitting at my table anymore. Get the fuck out. Like, all you four, get the fuck out. And that's when they call him a bastard. And then Craster jumps off from the table with his axe in hand. And he doesn't make it very far because Dirk cut his throat.
Yeah, immediately.
Because Dirk somehow grabs Craster by the hair and slits his throat before he can do anything. Very unsuspenseful death, like not even a fight.
Yeah, I mean, he's just he's about to go chop somebody up with the axe, maybe, but somebody grabbed him on the way and just ended it.
Yeah, he doesn't last long.
Yeah, and then the wives are acting nuts. Two of them are crying. One of them's cursing. One of them's running away because Sweet Donald's one of them's fighting, right, and trying to scratch Sweet Donald's eyes out. Yeah. And Mormont's just like, what the fuck? Like, we're all cursed now. Like, you can't kill your host, the guy that gave you food and mead. Like, you crazy?
Yeah.
Which I guess is the other side of the coin. Like, we heard of...
Yeah, like, once you give a guest food and, like, drink and mead, then you can't... They're protected, but also the other way. Yeah, you're both protected. Yeah.
Yeah, which makes sense, right?
Like, it's like waving the white flag almost. Like, all right, let's eat some dinner.
This place is safe now. Yeah.
Yeah. And Mormont's then like, all right, like, it's off with your head. Like, you just screwed us all.
Yeah, and Dirk's like, there's no laws up here, old man. We told you. We've been saying it. But Dirk grabs a wife and sticks a knife under her throat and is like, show us where the food's at.
Yep.
Mormont says, unhand her. Like, you can't take a lady. I'll have your head, you. And then stabby, stabby.
Yep, Garth blocks his way and Olo kills him.
Yep, go to him.
Then we turn the clocks forward and Sam's sitting cross-legged.
Well, this guy... On this, I want to go back real quick to Kyle earlier was talking about like how like I think you were saying like some of the good guys just like kind of die in like shitty ways like at the beginning maybe not that's what I was gonna say to what you were saying like
okay
you were kind of saying that the good guys like it always kind of feels like when they die and I think it's a lot of times it's because it's like
pretty, for sure
it's not like Ned dies leading the charge of men into an like enemy battle against Joffrey's men he dies like after just telling the entire capital
the truth.
The fake truth, right?
Oh, yeah, the fake truth.
Like
that's right.
He said Joffrey's a bastard. He said Joffrey's the real king, and then he dies.
I'm an asshole traitor.
Like, wow, you're like the truest one of them all, and then you die like this. Lord Commander, who seems like a pretty awesome commander, Lily just gets betrayed by his men, maybe because he was like almost like a heat of the moment kill because he got in between them and some food. Like, that's not how a lord or commander should go out. They should go out riding against the others or against the wildlings.
It's definitely for Craster and Mormont here. Craster doesn't even like they like
Craster's a prick, man. Fuck him.
I mean, sure, whatever. But like Craster is like, oh, he looks pretty like buff up on the chair. Like, he looks like he might be able to actually like fight.
Oh yeah.
And then he gets, you know, but for, he gets caught like pulled back from his hair by Dirk. Like, we don't even know if Dirk's like a big guy or not. But boom, he's dead really quick. And then Mormont, like, I don't know, like, he didn't even fight anybody.
Yeah, to the Craster thing, like, when I see Craster, there's a part where they're like, yeah, he was wearing a sleeveless sheepskin jerkin, and he had, like, a gold band on his arm, like, white hair all over his arms. He's literally just, like, a barbarian. Like, in any video game that has a barbarian option to choose, that's what Craster
feels
looks
like him, yeah.
And to just point, he just dies by, like, some guy named Dirk, who's known for his, like, Dirk, which is, like, a tiny dagger.
Just young boys from his hair. Just like, you're not Gan Carl. All right. So, Sam,
I was going to say Garth Greenway killed Garth of Old Town. Raleigh Sisterton had fallen from the loft.
trying to get the girls.
Which is like,
trying to get some girls. So, something happened to Gren.
I hope Raleigh falling means like the girls were fighting back.
Or like they push the ladder down, maybe.
How else are you gonna fall?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe somebody like pulled his leg down.
They pushed it off, pushed his ass off.
Here's something weird, right? So what does this next part mean? With Gren .. and then it's Gren had shouted and slapped him. He starts to think something about Gren.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But then Gren shouted and slapped him. Then they ran away with Giant Ed and some others. So like, it sounds like some good. Maybe our
some of the good
Sam's
guys
friends are leaving. Trying to at least get out of here. Craster's brought across a dead dude. Well, he was wounded, but now he's dead. Sir Byam. Four men in black sent on the bench eating. So now people are still eating. What's happening, right? What they could have had anyway. Like, burned horse meat.
That's my point. Like, they're just shouting for apples and oats earlier. Like, give us carrots and potatoes and oats. Like, you're eating horse meat.
Still
like,
hungry, Nelson.
How much better does it get?
The other shit hasn't gone up from the cellar.
That's what I'm saying. We don't know how much horse meat. So I get that. But, like, they didn't explain that. They said we got two loaves of bread. Presumably, there's a lot of dying horses. But again, we don't know.
Whatever.
I don't understand how you're arguing against variety in dinner. Like, I don't just go up and eat fucking chicken breast and I'm like, okay, I'm good. Or like a steak.
I know, I get it. But I think the point is, it leans to it being more organized. If there was actually plenty of food and they're still like, no, we're hungry with like a ton of food in front of them. Like, it doesn't make nearly a sense. And it's more probably like an organized, we want to mutiny.
No, they're like, he's holding all this good shit out on us. Like,
okay. No, and I totally see that. I'm just going to both sides of it, which is what we talked about earlier. Was it organized or not?
Maybe.
So Alo is still alive. He's coupled with the weeping woman on the table. What does that even mean, right? Like, is he raping her? Is that what that means?
Yeah. Coupled, yeah. Yeah. Sex.
Okay. I thought so. Raping somebody right in the middle of everything.
Yep.
So then Mormont, he grabs Sam and he's like, you got to go. Like, you got to go to the wall and you need to tell everyone everything.
Yep.
Yep.
Like, just tell everything to everybody. But he says, tell Jorah.
I can't go.
Jorah, he needs to take the black. It's my dying wish. Which is such a strange thing. Like, how Sam doesn't know fucking Jorah.
Sam probably has no idea what this even means. Probably thinks it's like made up gibberish. And also, like, have we even ever heard Gior speak of Jorah? Like, even in like a John chapter?
Yeah, they talked about the sword.
It's got to be in like family books. Like, oh, he had a son.
I think Sam will be able to figure it out if he remembers this. But
he
says,
tell my son Jorah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I just think
I feel like it's kind of known around. Like, if you hear Mormont, you're like, his son was the.
So I'm sure it gets talked about.
We've only had two Sam chapters. We don't know exactly what he knows. Yeah, good point. Okay. I just thought it was like kind of out of nowhere. But yeah, also really weird. I thought really weird last request. He wants Jorah to join the watch. I think part of it might be because he realizes, like, what did he tell Jon? He's like, do you think your brother's war is more important than ours? Like, this is what matters now. Like, we know that this is real now. This is what matters. Maybe that's why he wants.
We need.
Back.
We need all the good also too, fighting.
Like,
you know.
Keep honoring. Like, try to bring some sliver of honor back. Like, I've been trying to do this for you forever, and who knows where you are? Like, come back.
Yeah,
you belong.
Take the watch to appease for his sins, atone for his sins, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I see both sides of it. Sam's like, I can't. There's no fucking way.
Too far.
The Raven's squawking a lot throughout the all here. Now, wish. He says wish when he says when.
That's a new vocab word.
I think it is a new one for him. When he's like, this is my dying wish.
Corn.
It says corn right after
no that. Corn. I don't have any corn.
So yeah, then Sam's like, I'm not going to make it. No way. He's like, I'm just going to stay here. I'm not scared anymore. Like, I'll just die. Like, I'm not scared of anything.
He's like, cool. I'm not scared, man. I'm just going to sit here. They can kill me, and I'll be asleep.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, three wives show up.
Gilly being
one of them. You should be afraid. Yeah, Gilly, one of them. Wife daughters.
We're not supposed to talk to you.
No, now you don't want to talk to me.
Yeah, that's what Sam says.
She's
yeah.
like, that's like, my man's dead. Like, you can talk to us.
Yeah, no, that doesn't matter anymore. That's all done.
Yeah, that's done now. The blackest crows are down in the cellar gorging or up in the loft with the young ones. They'll be back soon. So
she's pretty much, this is your time here.
Get out.
The ones that fucking are going to kill you are busy.
Before the really bad ones figure out, like, okay, what are we going to do in a week from now? Like, yeah, what's our long-term plan? You got to be gone by. They start thinking about that shit.
Yeah. For sure.
And Gilly's like, you told me you'd help me. This is what, so you're kind of hands are tied. We know what you're going to do next because you promised already. So, yeah.
But I can't help you. Like, John could help you. I'm not the brave one. John is. John could save you. I can't.
Fat. Look at how fat I am.
Yeah.
I'm scared and I'm a craven and fat.
I can't leave this guy. And she's like, yeah.
I can't leave the Lord Commander. He's like,
he's left you.
Yeah, he already left you.
And then.
Corn? The Raven looked at it. So, Mormont's dead. Raven's like, corn? Who am I going to get corn from now?
How the fuck am I going to get corn now?
Sam, you have corn? Yeah. This is where Small Paul needed to be, right here, right now.
He had a handful of corn, right?
Yeah, he was looking for this raven for so long.
Yeah. So Sam's asking for the mother's mercy once he sees that he's gone. And the wife's like, come on, your mom can't help you now. Like, dead man can't help. We need you. We need
man
you
up.
To take Gilly out.
Take the sword and man up. Yeah. And they're like, quick, like we said, be quick about it. And Raven said, quick, quick, quick. And Sam's like, where do I go? And they're just like, someplace warm. And then we kind of read this earlier. Interesting.
Well, I like how it was the old woman said, your mother can't help you now. And the other old woman was like, yeah, you're right. She's my daughter. And I beat the lion out of her when she was young.
Yeah.
But like, they're both old women. So they've been there for so long.
Yeah. So this is grandma, mom and grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if like this is like a generational thing and Gilly is a generation down.
Yeah, maybe. Take the girl, be quick about it. Quick.
Raven says, yep. Quoth the Raven.
Take her somewhere, place warm. There's no place warm available to them.
Wall.
It's all cold as hell.
I mean, if you get down near King's Landing area, you could be...
Castle
Black. That's a long-ass way to
That is a long-ass way, but like, that's what you're looking for. Take a boat, maybe.
Gotta take me and the baby.
Gilly, yeah, like we said some of this earlier. Gilly offers to be wife, like I'll be wife, just like I was Craster's. They're coming. They're gonna take him if we don't.
Who?
And
who's gonna take him?
The boys' brothers, Craster's sons. The white cold's rising out there, Crow. I can feel it in my bones. These poor old bones don't lie. They'll be here soon, my sons. The sons.
But so like this kind of lends to like them knowing that either. They either know that a baby was born and it was a male already, or Craster is no longer there.
What do you mean?
Right? This kind of lends to that whole thing that either he was buying them off with his sons, and like that was why he wasn't worried about his place, and like why his defenses were just a little mound of dirt.
And now since Craster's dead, it's like, all right, open season on these people.
Well, now that they're not giving up the baby,
they just know that there's a baby here.
Yeah. So that's why now that they're coming to get it.
Well, how would you know that they're not giving up the baby yet?
Yeah, I guess you're right. But they would be coming to get it, which means
pick up. We're aware that it was. They know it was born, so they're coming. There's two options there, I guess.
Yeah,
but I'd like to think it's the Craster run that he's gone. So now that place is no longer safe. So then, a lot of these dudes are gonna get fucked up by the whites. That's my guess. You want my prediction? That's
early
my prediction. We'll leave it shortish, right? Unless
I think we're good.
All right, see you, Kyle.
We'll see you in the next one.
Thanks
see you
for
who is it?
Arya six.
Dang. We'll see Kyle in that one. We'll see the rest of you guys in the spoiler section.
Bye-bye. Later, nerds.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Bye, Kyle.
Bye, Kyle. Thanks. See you on the next one. With us. Now, on the spoiler section. For Sam 2. Jeff, what we got?
I mean, to be honest, I don't really have, like, too much. I think the crow, the raven's weird, right?
Raven shouting all throughout this.
Yeah. So, the raven's weird. I guess you're on the side of that they organized this Crassler mutiny.
I probably actually don't think so. I think if they organized it, you think they would actually have actually killed Sam and made sure Mormont was dead. Like, those are the two people high on the list. I mean, I guess Chet was the one that wanted to kill Sam, mostly just because he took his job. So he maybe just, if Chet's gone, like him, they don't care about Sam. But it doesn't make sense that, to me, I don't know. I think it's a toss up. I don't think it quite matters in the long run.
Yeah, I don't think it matters either. Like, if it was organized, like, all right, fine. They were already organizing to do it.
I also don't remember what happens to them. I don't remember if Kyle's right or not.
Because it's different, right? It's not Jon Snow coming back and
Sam, Bran doesn't come here. In the other one, Jon's like, oh, we have to go kill him because otherwise Mance is going to get there and find out that I lied and we don't have 1,000 men on the wall.
Yeah.
That seems like actually a pretty valid point. I don't know why that wouldn't be true in the books unless the Whites don't kill everyone. So maybe the Whites do just come through here and kill
him. Do we come back to Crasher's Keep at all? We probably don't, right?
I don't think so. Bran doesn't come here. I think this is it.
Damn.
I think the most probable is the Whites. Like, Kyle's right. The Whites just come through and kill everyone. I can do a quick check.
Sam doesn't have another run-in with Gilly, right?
I mean, he takes Gilly with her. What do you mean?
I meant with the White or another.
I think a bunch of Small Paul White shows up to attack him, and either he kills Small Paul White, like Small Paul as a White.
Yeah.
And either he kills him, or that's when Cold Hand, that's the same. I'm sure it's the same chapter. Cold Hand shows up. I just don't know exactly how they deal. Then they meet Bran in the tunnel. I don't remember exactly how the Cold Hands meeting happens though.
That was Sam the Slayer though with Gilly in the show, right? So it's all different.
Yeah, that's when exactly in the show. That is when, instead of Small Paul, he's with Gilly when he hadn't killed the other at the point that he was at Crasher's Keep on the way back in the show.
Yeah. All right. Raven, weird. What's the take? What are your takes? Give me your takes. Let's talk about them.
So this is one of the things where I will – you joked about it in the non-spoiler. Preston Jacobs, I think, has as good a theory as any, in that somehow the Raven is the reason for the mutiny. And again, I don't think I wouldn't say I believe this, but I think it's an interesting thing to think about, where it's neither is the mutiny really planned, nor is it like a spur of the moment thing, but it's something like caused by the Raven, by magic. Blood Raven is like somehow warging into people, influencing them, making them hungrier than they are via the Raven and stuff. And again, I haven't actually listened to the Preston Jacobs theory on this recently. But I know he has one that basically says, like, the Raven squawking is, like, what makes people hungry. It's what makes Bannon smell good and makes people go crazy.
Yeah, I mean, because Bannon can't smell good, right?
I've never smelled a burning dead body, so I don't know. But, I think
one, it's burning. It's not like you're cooking. You're burning it. Like, nothing
burns. Yeah, even a burning pig wouldn't smell good. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, again, I don't know. You know more about pig roasting than me. Crackling is like the fat on a pig, which is what Ed's talking. But Ed says it smells good too, so it's not just a Sam thing, which again would go to like if it is magic, it's on everyone. Again, I don't have it off the top of my head, but I know Preston does have a theory on this, and a lot of people think this is weird. Like, it just doesn't really make sense how everything goes down.
I wish it was G or Worgen. The Raven more so than Blood Raven.
I mean, it could be. I guess it would be like more of like an unknown warg type thing.
Yeah.
And again, this is the one where I actually haven't taken my full notes on like the actual mutiny part of the chapter, like the last couple pages. So, which is where the Raven really starts popping off. But,
I mean, he says, "What's the new word?" He said.
He said a bunch of new stuff. I think he says son for the first time when Mormont comes out with his baby.
Yeah.
So the ones that I did get in my notes were when Sam's thinking about John, the Raven comes up and starts saying snow, snow, snow.
Which is curious of why he said snow.
Again, it's like he knows what Sam's thinking about or something like that. well, I mean...
Quick
There is snow everywhere. Well, then the next one I had was when the old bear, when Craster came out with his son, he says, son, son, son. Then he gives the Bannon speech and the Raven says, ended, ended, ended. And Sam's like, that's when Sam goes to throw up. I'm sure Preston probably said that at some point in his video. I'm just remembering that. But I don't know. I don't want to go too much on it because I'd just be trying to remember something that I don't really remember. But
yeah.
I would point people to the Preston Jacobs videos. I'm not actually sure which ones it are. I was listening to some of them recently trying to prep for this. And I was listening to the secret. There's a series he did called Secrets of Craster's Keep. I was listening to that. I didn't get the whole way through it. I finished like the first. I've listened to all his stuff. But I re-listened to the first three. It was mostly about. Not about the Raven. Maybe the last two or more about the Raven, but I didn't get to the last two
more
yet.
More so about the offerings.
It's about him saying, there's 19 wives that meet, and Chet at one point thinks that 9 of them are old and 9 of them are, when he takes over Craster's Keep, I'll sleep with 9 of them, but the 9 of them are too old. So then Preston Jacobs figures out, who was the first wife? You need at least 14 years probably till he starts getting them pregnant again. So he's trying to figure out how old all the, like that. That's what the first three of his videos are about. So maybe the last two, but he has a bunch of series on the Night's Watch. There might be one specifically on the Raven, which might be where he talks about it. But
is it me or does Kyle think that the sons are getting eaten by the others? Still,
I think it's ambiguous. I think them saying Craster's sons at the end.
That should bring it on to the sons become others, right?
Well, and again, this is all we know. This is as much as we ever learn about it. Like, I know that me and you right now are thinking of the scene in the show where the other puts his finger on the baby and he becomes one. We don't know that that's how that happens at all. All we know is this, that they call him Craster's sons. I'm sure that that's probably where that scene from the show came from, is from this line here.
Which, I guess we're inferring that it's the same. But if the moms are calling him that,
it would definitely imply that they know what's happening.
Is that why they give Craster protection? Because it's his daddy. That's daddy, and they're gonna get more brothers.
Some of the stuff that Preston does talk about, Preston Jacobs does talk about in his Secrets of Craster's Keep series, which I was watching, is like, why would the Night's Watch allow Craster to exist? Like, really, does this hut come in handy? Like, is it the difference between life and death that often that you're going to knowingly allow this guy to sacrifice babies and rape his own daughters, pretty much? And also, why do the wildlings put up with it?
Well, let me just give you, a point of view. The Night's Watch hasn't really believed that the others were a threat until they came at the first fist.
Yep, agreed.
So, for the most part, they're like, all right, you're sacrificing your son to exposure, right? You're just leaving him on a stump and you're offering him to the gods, but you're just like, he's getting eaten by a bear or something.
They knew there were no sons. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's one of the things where do we actually know that they know anything? They have to, just because there's no kid. Where are all the boys?
Right. So, at some point, they're just like, well, we can't do anything to Craster, and do we really give a fuck what he does?
Yeah, again, and I think that's a really good point. That's kind of why I don't agree with what Preston says. But what Preston says on this is the whole reason they allow Craster is because Craster is giving over babies to the others. They know that. So the other thing is, it goes back which is really interesting. Craster probably started doing this while Bloodraven was Lord Commander of the Night's Watch. Bloodraven was Lord Commander of the Night's Watch for 13 years before he got lost beyond the wall, and now he's in that tree. So during those 13 years, that's when Craster probably started doing this stuff, which again goes in. There's theories that Craster is Bloodraven's child.
Right. Cause it was a runaway crow with a wildling woman.
Yep. Exactly. There's a thought that the reason Bloodraven allowed this to start happening is because the inbreeding made the children not as healthy as inbred children. So he was like, you know what, if we can give away. So also when we, in a few Bran chapters, when Bran gets to the Knight's Fort, I know I'm jumping around a lot, but it'll tie it together. He hears the story of the Knight's King, which is the Knight's King basically married a woman with blue eyes and really pale.
We've just read that story.
Not yet. We're going to when Bran gets to the wall. The Knight's King married a blue eyed corpse woman from beyond the wall. and then started sacrificing his children
yeah.
to the others. So, like, this has already happened before. It seems like maybe that's a thing that they just did. They always gave over children. Preston Jacob's theory, which I think is really interesting. Again, I don't know if I buy it, but it's really interesting, is that so Queen Alysanne, who was queen pretty much right before House of the Dragon starts, if we're going think about the timeline like that, she abolished the Lord's right to the first knight, which is the rule, the Braveheart rule. You can't just sleep with everyone on their wedding night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Roose Bolton says that, like, they still kind of do that rule up in the really north areas.
Right. He wants to keep it going, right?
Yeah. But when Queen Alysanne did that, it pissed off a lot of people. She also, I think, closed down the Night Fort, which is the one that Bran goes to. She also renamed one of the castles from Snowgate to Queen's Gate, I think. And what Preston proposes, that what's actually happening was that the Night's King was giving over baby. Basically, they made a deal with the others when the Long Night ended. We'll give you babies. You guys can't have sex and reproduce that way. You need to just, like, touch them on the forehead or whatever, which, again, there's nothing about that in the books, but let's go with it for now. It's the best thing we got. Say that's the deal. You need babies? Cool. We'll give you babies, but we'll do it on our terms. The Night's King does it this bad way. He tries to sacrifice his own kids. They don't like that. But then they decide, Lord's right to the first night. Give us all your babies. Send them to Snowgate. All the bastards in the north. Mm-hmm. Send them to Snowgate because they'll have the name Snow. Right? Which is why when Queen Alysanne figures out what's going on, she ends it all. No more Lord's right to the first night. Mm-hmm. We're renaming Snowgate to Queen's Gate because we're not having this gate named after all these bastards that are being sacrificed anymore. And we're closing down the Night Fort, which is the place that has the crazy underneath. So you have the Night Fort, which has a gate through the wall, tunnel through the wall. And then you also have this tunnel through the Weirwood mouth tunnel, which Preston Jacobs, what he says in those videos is it's like a sacrifice. You're literally feeding a heart tree. You put
the baby through the heart tree.
In its mouth. You literally walk through its mouth. And the only people that can do it are Black Brothers, which means the Night's Watch would have to be in on it if that's what was happening here. Like, Night's Watch comes in, says the words, puts the baby down, walks through, tree mouth closes, others come, take it, right? Again, I don't know if there's – I think it's – when you think about it that way, it is – it's one of those things where, like, Preston does a pretty good job of spinning it. Like, that does make sense why Queen Alysanne – everything Queen Alysanne does makes a ton of sense when you spin it that way. I don't know if it's enough for me to believe, but I would say definitely go check out some of those videos. Again, I think I've already kind of reiterated what he's said too much. Go look at his videos if you want more on him. It's cool. Back to this one. Two things that I had, quick things. Tansy was one of the herbs that they brought with them. We didn't bring it up in the chapter.
I didn't even realize.
We didn't bring it up in the non-spoiler, but Kyle had a chance to realize here that tansy is a herb. It doesn't really make sense why a group of all men would be bringing Plan B with them.
Yeah, right. The wall. I mean, it's got to have multiple
uses, or they don't want to have any more Crasters. So,
they start sneaking in the Crasters' wives' drink.
I was just thinking, in case any wildling Night's Watch and raped any wildling women when they were out there, which is how Craster.
Why would they care? To be honest,
that's how Craster became a thing. Is what I'm saying. A Night's Watchman raped a wildling woman. Craster was born.
Yeah, but there's so many wildlings.
The other example of that we have is Mance Rayder. Mance Rayder was born. So one of them becomes this absolutely horrible person. The other one becomes the leader of this massive rebellion.
Mance Rayder was a wildling?
His dad was a Night's Watchman.
Oh, I don't know if I knew that.
Yeah, I think. And then he got taken in.
He's lived on the wall his whole life?
Yeah, I think he was born to a wildling mom, but then taken in by the Night's Watch. Where here... I think either we learned it here or in the last John chapter with Ygritte, or we'll learn it in the next John chapter. Craster was the same thing, born to a Night's Watch dad, wildling mom. But when she brought Craster back, they, like, shoot him away.
Yeah.
Mance was taken in.
Remember that. I think it might have been the last chapter.
I think it was the last John chapter. Craster was shoot away. Mance was taken in. But then Mance ran back down away from
him. Yeah. Interesting.
I think we know that about Mance, that he was...
I think so. I don't know why I'm forgetting that.
The other thing, and I kind of even dropped a hint in the non-spoiler, they do say Pip always said Gren was thick as a castle wall, which is just, I mean, Dunk. He's, again, even if he's maybe not related to Dunk, but he's like a Dunk-like character. good of heart. Yeah,
I mean, that's not big that and dumb. Big of a spoil.
I think he's like dunk. I thought
it was just really surprising for how much they like make fun of him for being dumb, which I guess he makes like a dumb comment. But like out of all the comments he makes, like one of them is dumb. Four of them are like very philosophical or like optimistically speaking. Like,
yeah. Yeah, you don't have to be super dumb to be you made fun of for being dumb. Just say the dumb thing every once in a while. Be easily trick into a corner.
It's true.
So the other thing was when Gren thinks about the quote, what Gren tells Sam, one of his like enlightenment moments, sometimes I think everyone is just pretending to be brave and none of us really are. Maybe pretending is how you get brave. John, when he sends Sam off, he commands Sam from being a coward. He's like, I can't keep you from being afraid of things, but you're not allowed to tell anyone you're afraid of anything. Like, you're never allowed to go call yourself a coward ever again. Yeah. Which is kind of John commanding Sam, go pretend to be brave. Like, I don't give a fuck if you're afraid inside, but go pretend to be brave. Which I wonder if it's like Sam becomes brave. Also, while there's the whole like, I don't know what I think about this, but there's a theory that Sam, I don't even remember exactly the theories, but Sam shoots an arrow that kills Euron in a battle at Old Town, something along those lines. And it's all because Sam has like a bunch of archery stuff. Like, he sucks at archery. He gets lucky at hitting the bullseye, I think, in a previous chapter at the...
Is this a Winds of
Winter
thing?
In a John chapter, I think in a John chapter, he got really like Sam was... John was walking by Pip and Gren and Sam shooting a bow, and Sam actually got lucky and hit a bow and arrow. And
this already happened?
This has already happened. Here he says no to shooting the bow and arrow. Before John sends Sam off, when John becomes Lord Commander, he commands Sam to practice bow and arrow every day. And then even when he sends him off to Old Town, I think he says, take the bow and arrow with you because I want you to make sure you keep practicing. So I think there's like a theory that Sam will get like a really lucky bow and arrow shot. And like, where would it be important? Sam is at the Citadel. Euron's about to attack Old Town. So I think there's like a theory. I don't remember. I'm sure I'm getting that wrong.
Wild come up for Sam.
This is just like where Sam again. They're like, "Hey, Slayer, come shoot the bow and arrow." And he's like, "No," and runs away. It'd be again on a.
He calls himself, to your point of like John commanded him never to be scared. He calls himself Craven here, or thinks it. He thinks it and says it like multiple times.
Yeah. And John's like, enough of that. Yeah, the last thing I had was Dragonglass. Mormont's like, hey, turns out this shit's important. We can't go get the rest of it at the Fist. Where are we going to get some?
Yeah.
And I think this is something that Kyle could have thought about a little bit. I was like jokingly just like said the furthest place that we've heard of, I think, and was like, oh, what if it comes from Astapor?
Yeah.
Well, like the main place that we know of, I think this is in the books, not just the show, is Dragonstone. It makes sense.
Do we know that?
I think so, and it makes sense.
Does Sam end up reading a book and being like, there's a... Because that's how they find it in the show, right? Sam reads a book and John's like, oh, there's a quarry of it in Dragonstone.
You're right. I think if we've heard that, we haven't heard it from Sam, and it might be a thing we've actually heard already. Like that.
Or is it something
we've already
Sam...
heard in like a Davos chapter in passing, or like the Crescent chapter even.
I want to say it's Sam gets to Old Town and reads about it.
But Sam's not like really at Old... like. The last Sam chapter we have is he's like getting accepted into Old Town.
But isn't he able to be in like the one library before he gets accepted?
I don't think we get any like crucial information.
I might just be thinking of the show.
Yeah, I think the last Sam chapter's him getting into the room with a glass candle, meeting Pate, who is actually Jaqen. But yeah, the thing is, even if we don't know it, Dragonstone makes sense. When Mormont says, is it true that dragons make dragonglass, that the Smallfoot think? What Sam says is, no, Maesters think it's the fires of the earth that make it, not...
Right, so a volcano. A
volcano makes sense to me. Obsidian's a thing in the real world, right? Like, I don't know if it's called that, but is it called obsidian in the real
world? It's obsidian in the real world,
To me, I think volcanoes. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but people who know about rocks are going to be like, I can Google it quick.
I'd have to look, because like, I've seen just videos of people making like obsidian daggers and stuff, which is pretty cool. It would also give, like, because there's theories that dragons live under Dragonstone, right?
Yeah, and that's why there is a volcano.
Yeah.
Obsidian is an extrusive rock, which means it is made from magma that erupted out of a volcano.
There we go. So then you're going to think Dragonstone and Valyria, if the Doom was actually a volcanic eruption.
Don't all rocks come from volcanoes? We don't got to go down that path.
I don't know about all rocks, but...
Because I just kept reading that Google and it said If it was an ingenious rock that formed from magma underground and did not erupt, it would have been called intrusive. So either it does erupt, which probably makes it cool faster, and then it's extrusive, or it's inside, and then it's intrusive. Doesn't matter. It all comes. Rocks come from magma, right? Period. Yeah. Where else are you going to get a rock?
I don't know.
Science?
I don't know. The Big Bang.
It doesn't matter. Dragonglass, obsidian, same thing. It's got to be coming from Dragonstone. it's got to be coming from Dragonstone, right? End of story.
I mean, that's the quickest way, for sure. It's the only other volcano we know of. Do you think Valyria?
Valyria probably have a bunch. Valyria's probably made out of obsidian nowadays, since the Doom.
Yeah.
That's actually a good point. Like, literally, it's probably made out of it. Like, just coated, like... What did Pompeii? I don't know. What did Pompeii look like after it wasn't made of obsidian?
Not obsidian.
But maybe Mormont's right, and maybe dragons can make it.
Maybe.
And you just do it up. Also, I think it's really interesting. In the show, you can definitely kill whites with dragon glass.
They were killing whites with anything, though, weren't they? Just fire and
dragon glass. Like the scene where like they're trapped on the little like island in the middle of the lake in the north.
Yeah, they were chopping people
all
down
dragon glass stuff.
Or Valyrian steel.
Interesting, or Valyrian steel. Interesting here that they're like, or Gendry's hammer, big hammer. I think the Hound was using that. Interesting here though that Sam like thinks like about this. He's like Gren is saying that dragon glass can kill the whites just like can kill the others. We don't know that,
right?
So we know fire can kill whites. That's it. That's all we know there.
Dragon glass can kill others.
Dragon glass can kill others. We don't know if fire can kill others or dragon glass can kill whites.
Yeah.
But that's all we got.
Do you think that when Sam killed the other that a bunch of whites exploded?
No.
They better hope that they did.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Or it's all speculation.
It's one of, I was actually thinking about this today. It's one of the things where I was thinking, if I was the other, it's almost, what if it's like the others are just like puppeting them?
Okay.
It would be a lot of work to just do that all the time.
Well, I don't think they are.
So like if you don't need them.
I think they have control over them, but they're not puppeting them.
I'm just saying like if you don't need them, are they just like laying there? Or is it a thing where like, say the others were like way over here on the east side of the map. And then if for some reason they want to go to the west side, are they bringing all those puppets with them? Or are they just walking solo to the west side and then be like, hey, what's dead here? Raise.
Probably. They probably raise every now and again.
And just leave whatever's behind. Like, I'm not puppeting you across country. You stay there.
I think they just follow blindly.
Also, Sam says, like, you can't do it to bones, saying, like, that's why we're burning them. We got all these buried people at Castle Black. Could that be bad? Like, is that like no I one? Mean, I've never heard anybody talk about this in theories. Like, well, what if the others get to Castle Black? Listen, and just, boom.
Well, listen. If you can't do it to bones, if they're old enough, they're decomposed and they're just a pile of bone. So
yeah, and I guess theoretically the wall stops magic.
What if the wall's not there?
Yeah, then things get bad.
All right,
but yeah, that was the last thing I had. The other thing I had was just look at Preston. I re-spewed some of his stuff. That again, I say spew. I think it's pretty good. I don't know if I believe it all, but it's all definitely interesting to think about. I don't want to just reiterate everything he said. Just go check out his stuff. Preston Jacobs.
All right.
That's all we got.
Thanks for hanging out with us, guys. Like, subscribe, share, comment.
Bye.
With you. Join the Discord. See you later.